Blog Talk Radio.
Serving up the beats and making it hot. It's DJ IQ.
The Broadway. The Soul Shaker. inaugural Carillon Awards Ball. Saturday, May 5th, 2012. Doors open at 5 p.m. Admission $30 all night. Location, Symphony Ballroom at the Blake Hotel, Uptown, Charlotte, North Carolina. Commentators, icon Jack Mizrahi and icon Jay Manilo Blahnik. DJ, legendary Von Allure. Grand prize, $1,500. Bush Queen Realist with a Twist. Mini grand prize, $500. Bush Queen Vogue Set. Mini grand prize, $500. Bush Queen European Runway. Categories include male figure versus female figure. Two trophies. One cash prize of $250. Bush Queen Favorite. One trophy, one cash prize of $250. Open to all, foot and eye. Male figure versus female figure. Two trophies, one cash prize of $250. Open to all, team treatment. One trophy, one cash award of $300. And 13 other $100 categories. The 4th Annual Carillon Awards Ball. Saturday, May 5th, 2012. Charlotte, North Carolina. See you there. Queen of Hearts Birthday Ball Part 2. February 18th, 2012. Youngstown State University's Beagley Center, Youngstown, Ohio. Commentators for the evening, legendary Kevin Jay-Z Prodigy and Leslie Derion. $25 all night. Doors open at 10. Legislative stars at 12:30. Guest list closes at midnight. Cash category. Grand prize. Open to all Vogue performance. $750. Bring a gift or a $10 pop. Open to all runway. $250. Fem Queen Realness. $150. Butch Queen and Drag Realness. The Transformation. $100. Open to all Thug Realness. Four trophies. One cash award. $100. Open to all Sex Sirens. Four trophies, one cash award, $100. Virgin Vogue, $50. The Queen of Hearts Birthday Ball Part 2, February 18th, 2012. See you there.
Girl.
T2C, Tempted to Touch presents Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous Ball. Sunday, March 24th, 2012, 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Fort Cheyenne Casino and Event Center, 2428 East Cheyenne Avenue, North Las Vegas, Nevada. Hosted by the legendary mother, Divine Chanel. Commentated by the icon, Jack Mizrahi. We are proud to say we offer the biggest cash prizes on the West Coast. No tea, no shade, no competition. Over $6,000, 3 years and counting. Categories include mini grand prize. $500 open to all runway. $500 open to all realness. $500 open to all best dress. $1,000 open to all face. Car. You understand it. And 8 other $100 categories. Grand prize number one, $1,500 open to all Vogue. Grand prize number two, $1,500 open to all Sex Sirens. Get ready. T2C, Tempted to Touch presents Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous Ball. Ballroom Throwback presents Wanted 2012. The first annual YouTube Awards Ball, March 3rd, 2012. Time, 7 p.m. until 3 a.m. Where? 841 Barreto Street, The Bronx, New York, 10451. Categories include Fem Queen Face, Smooth Criminal, Dressed in Killer Black with a Smoking Red Lip, $500 cash. Twister vs. Sister, $250 cash. Add $20 to the pot, one trophy. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Legendary Performance, $500. Add $20 to the pot. Witch Queens vs. Fem Queens, one trophy. Scene Battle, Grand Prize, $1,500 and one trophy. Grand prize, $2,012 to the house with the most trophies. Ballroom Throwback presents Wanted 2012, the first annual YouTube Awards Ball.
Thank you.
never understand how I feel when I'm searching for the words to say. And I don't wanna be nobody else. Try to take the time and get to know me, the real me, and you will see, yeah.
Just like you.
I now introduce to you the Barbarossa of Turn the Top, Legendary Nicole, Aurora East Coast Mother Khan, my life, my story, my dreams. Are you ready?
Well, how everyone's Wednesday night tonight. Welcome to the Sister to Sister For Real show. I am the Barbara Walters, the legendary Nicole Khan. I'm going to be here on your line on this Wednesday night, every Wednesday night, giving you guys all that you love to hear about the intimate portrait, my intimate portrait interviews with the history and all that has gone on in the different people's lives in the ballroom scene. Tonight, of course, and every other and every Wednesday night, we will be interviewing people that has played a significant role in ballroom scene and has been the reason why we are all here today and that we do all the things that we do in ballroom that we do today. So this show is dedicated to paying homage and giving history. We had a long weekend. The show was long, and with all the stuff that happened in Atlanta, so now it's time for a little bit of history. Tonight, I'm going to be interviewing the legendary Mariah Revlon. If you don't know, Mariah is this year will be 20 years, if I'm not right, for Mariah, who has been in the scene for a very long time. Mariah came out in 1991, and she's still here today doing the things, and the Lord has blessed her tremendously, and she's in a different place in her life. So we definitely tonight will be paying homage to Mariah and listening to her story. You guys know how it works. I'll do a segment of questions. If you like to come on and you like to ask questions or pay homage or say any, you know, speak about a memorable time tonight, because my show is going to be so long, I would like for everyone that come on and ask a question or to state a statement or even to share a memory, that it will be short and brief, because we do have to move along, because after the legendary Mariah Revlon, without any further ado, we will be doing my special guest. I cannot put in words what to say about this individual. He is the pioneer. He's the producer. He's the Clyde Davis of the House of Saint Laurent. He's the first and original mother of the House of Saint Laurent. And tonight we will all be here tonight with the pioneer icon, Robbie Saint Laurent. If you know your family, your cousins, your gay sister, your mother, you're in the house, tonight is the night that you should be on this show, because tonight you will hear a lot of interesting and intimate and a lot of experience that can further you along in your life. And their story may have some type of bearings to your story, and it can bring you out of whatever it is that you're going through. So tonight we're going to have a lot of history on this phone. Like I said, special guest tonight at 1 will be the pioneer icon, Robbie Saint Laurent, giving us all that we history about himself and the pioneer iconic House of Saint Laurent. I just love that house. If we all know, it was made of nothing but beauty. So all of us definitely get prepared for that. All of our house mothers, and you on here, get your children, because this is time to learn about the history. This show is dedicated to bridging the gap between the old and the new, so the old can know what the new does today, and the new can know what the old did then and are still doing today. So all you Mariah fans that's on the phone lines, I'm not going to have y'all here many longer. you know, we love Mariah. I love Mariah. I've been trying to get her on the show when there's been so much going on. Every Wednesday we will continue with the interviews. I've been in and out of it. But I have a long list of people lined up for us to be listening to, learning from, understanding, and seeing in a different light. So y'all all should be looking forward to seeing all of that. So I'm not going to talk any longer. We know the rules of the show. We won't have any tolerate any disrespect, any foolery. If you can't come humble, respectful, mature, and intelligent, please don't press one. I am not looking for any games and show. We have to move along with this show, and I want every guest that I have tonight to be respected from the audience and the callers on the phone line. And you guys in the chat room, I live for y'all. I love y'all, too. I hope that y'all are and will be listening and sharing the show with me tonight as well. So I'm going to, without any further ado, Switchboard, could you give me the song for the legendary Mariah Revlon?
I have decided, determined, I'm committed that I'll run no matter the cost. And I have decided, determined, I'm committed that I'll run even though at times I may get lost. I'm going to finish my race. I'm going to take my proper place in the winning circle. I'm going to run anyway. I don't know where or when or how, but I know that I'm going to make it. Now so safely in amazing grace, I made up my mind, and I don't have much time, but I'll run till I finish. I'm going to run this race. I'm going to take my proper place in the winning circle. I'm going to run anyway. I don't know where, I don't know when or how, but I know I'm gonna make it. Oh, I'll run this race nestled safely in a maze. I don't have much time, so I'll run till I finish. Oh, I made up my mind. I don't have much time, but I'm gonna run, I'm gonna run, I'm gonna run till I finish. Yeah, I made up my mind. I don't have much time, but I'll run till I finish.
Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring to Sister For Real show the legendary, my dear sister, the Mariah Revlon. Hi, Mariah.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, hi, sister. How's everything? Welcome to the Sister to Sister For Real show, where everything is kept real, real on here. How are you?
I am doing super, super great.
Okay, how was your day today?
So far, so good. I just got finished doing some homework online, so I'm kind of like over it. But I'm stuck in Rochester, bored as hell. How are you?
I'm great. I'm here in New York, bored as hell. I mean, when you get a woman of a certain age, you don't get to do too much like you used to anymore. It's just not that appealing anymore. So,
yes.
And I have a child.
That's a little famous Like,
yeah. We have a woman's life, so I have a child. So, you know, my mother doing the day, so it's good that. But a lot of people have been, anticipating this interview. You are a very significant person in ballroom. You're a very significant person in life, period. You have had a lot of ups and downs and life-changing events, and you're still here today. And, you know, happy anniversary to you as well, because I want to say I've counted up your years, and you are in the 20-year mark, maybe 21-year mark. So congratulations for still being here. Lord, I thank you for all these years, still doing and producing and doing all the things that you're doing. So I'm going to go right into the interview, because whatever part we don't get finished, everybody that's listening on the phone, you will be able to come through the phone line. And whatever part we don't be finished, because the person that Mariah is, and you're Mariah's, you know, as a femme queen, and I cater to my ladies. And if we don't get finished everything, we will do a part two on her other entry of her life. So, you know, just bear with me, because we have a long, extreme night. So, Mariah, without any more ado, I'm going to just start us off by telling us, a little bit about your childhood, where you were born. I mean, you know, could you tell us where you were born and if you lived in a house with both of your parents? And did you have any siblings?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, for those that do not know, I am from Washington, D.C., and I was raised in Baltimore. I grew up not knowing my birth parents, so at the age of 13, I just decided to, like, just flee away. I'm not going to speak in a negative manner to say that I was abused and tormented and things of that nature. I will say I was birthed at the wrong place. So at 13 years old, I knew I had to definitely soar my royal oats, which is like fly and like get out the way. So I knew back then I wanted to kind of change the world and make it a better place according to how I was raised. So I wanted to kind of leave a mark on the earth to make sure that I treat people just as same as how I would want to be treated, or even better. So,
Okay. Well, what was your childhood like growing up up until the age of 13?
What was my childhood like? My childhood like was like a little child opening up their eyes to, like, an amazing world. But yet, growing up, I was already captured inside a facility, I would say, or a place, or a home, or a institution, whatever that may have been at those times. It was more so like, I got to get out. And not having the normal, I would say, not better, but not having the normal upbringing, like with the mother and father, I knew that something was wrong throughout my 13 years of being at home. I was feeling very much sheltered, out of place, very much distant. And it probably wasn't even because, now looking back at it at 36 compared to when I was 19 or 20, it probably wasn't even no one's fault on how a person, wind up not having parents. But even though my birth parents knew, even though my immediate family knew that I was bound to, like, dash or, you know, like, branch off. So,
Okay. Wow. That was interesting. So at what point in your life did you know you was gay?
I always knew I was different. Never say I was gay. I really don't even ride on the gay exterior, because I'm a person before any of that. I think you would probably name being gay probably in the pile. But
right.
I knew I was somebody. I knew I was someone. Not knowing where I wanted to go, yes. Not knowing. Dibbled and dabbled in all types of fields and careers, or ditched in, like, different types of trainings and programs. Just always wanted to empower myself as I was going along, but at the same time, knowing that something wasn't really capturing my soul.
Okay. Was it a hard pill to swallow for your family to find out that you were different in the way you were?
I won't say it never was really a pill. When you grow up with no parents, you really don't grow up in explanation to anyone about anything.
Right.
So me being different was just like me being different, and you either need to accept it or else. So it wasn't never, oh, my God, listen, Mom, I'm gay, mm-hmm. or, oh, I got to tell my cousin. But, no, right. I always knew that. It was just a beam, like a light inside of me, knowing that I wasn't attracted to the normal sex, which is a man and a woman. But when I got around another male, like, it just took me to another place. So it was already locked and key, but it took a experience in order for it to erupt, you know, physical thing does do the automatic, like, top on the icing, and you're mm-hmm. like, okay, this is my destiny.
Baby.
Mm-hmm. So
I found my calling. I hear you.
Yes, I knew my calling. Uh-huh.
Okay. So, okay, I'm
still allergic to women as well.
Oh, interesting, really, to this day.
I am truly an LGBT, yes.
Okay. And okay, so you say you explained your childhood, and so you explained that you were pretty much on your own, you know, at the age of 13 years old. So at what point in time in your life did you walk into, I'm going to say first, the gay community as far as coming out and being out in the club and in gay, you know, surround atmosphere?
I came out in Baltimore, Baltimore City, downtown at Buns. I was so fascinated. Well, it was so funny because you know how you meet different people according to, like, the level of where you're at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So prior to me never even coming out, I ran across a older person that my family knew of that was already giving out the tea on me. Like, oh, yeah, this is going to be one of those. So I'm giving, oh, okay. And then they kind of led me to, ooh, you need to go downtown.
Right.
And downtown was the outcome, Lexington Market, the Lead Rack, all of those were the outcoming places to come and play around and see what the tease is. And then I got with a group of girls and decided to, like, travel with them. And then I got to a ball and it was like, OMG.
Do you remember your first ball?
I do. I don't remember the exact... I know it was an ebony ball. I was a butch queen. I walked butch queen runway, and I was coming out. I had a bald head, level coat, Timberland boots. They chopped me. They was like, no, you're walking too much like a woman. And then only thing I can recall, I just, like, went back to D.C., went back to Baltimore, came back to New York, and then just, like, went on a rampage.
So what was your first house as you started when you walked that category that night at the runway category at the Ebony Ball? Was you in the house or was you just participating?
My first night, I was just like a 007, if you were saying, just
mm-hmm.
very much, I want to try this shit out. Just wanted to jump out there, and I'm a Scorpio too, so I don't like letting nothing pass me if I'm like in the building. If I'm in the mm-hmm. building, I'm gonna play. And it's just given that, like, and even still to this day, it's like, no, I won't be, I'd rather walk a ball than judge anyway, because I like more to come and shut the place down than just, like, sit on the panel. Mm-mm.
So what was your first house?
My first house was Ebony. Mm-hmm.
Really? And how long were you there?
I was at Ebony. I became an Ebony in, like, 92, and then I wind up becoming a Revlon in 95.
Okay, so at Revlon, you walked into the house of Revlon in 95, and you were started in Baltimore, is that correct?
I started in Baltimore, mm-hmm.
Okay, and what was some of the categories that you walked in the house of Revlon?
Well, as an Ebony, I walked All-American Runway, Butch Queen European Runway, Butch Queen and Drag Runway, and then I wind up going to the house of Revlon and just, like, doing the same thing, but just going, like, state to state. And you know, I was even Ebony going state to state. I was even just, like, winning, like, Butch Queen state to state, all around Butch Queen of the Year in New York City. It's crazy. I can't really recall my accolades of, like, all the trophies and stuff. I really can't. Only thing I can say and to sum it up is that I have been chopped, but throughout my history of walking, my resume speaks more of me ever winning than losing. And then a lot of the times when I got chopped, they were kind of trying to be nice to me and, like, say it like really nicely because they knew I was like so ready. Maybe like one Mariah, real sweet, like yeah.
Yeah, it was, okay. You didn't feel good about getting chopped. I take it back then, so they knew.
I love chops though. Not to say that whoever's listening to try me is fucking getting bitch, but I'm giving. I live for chops because it empowers you and make you know that even if a bitch cannot take you, it's really not about the chop. It's about how you have to go home and live with chopping me and gagging, and now you got to put on a persona like, oh, she can't take me. And it's not about you can't take me. You show that you can't take me. So I'm just going to keep walking. So it's really not about the chop. It's about, like, when you walk. But sometimes you do deserve to get chopped. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, when you can feel when a bitch, like when the crowd, you never can fool the crowd.
Right.
The crowd will just instantly let you know that when you walk, oh, boom, bitch, they booed me before. Remember I walked Film Queen performance my first time?
Yes.
I had the real shortcut. I was giving out with a play tonight. And that was my first time ever voguing as a film queen, but I have this kind of automatic, kind of turn on competitive vibe. So the ballroom scene just gave me like an extra push, even
right.
So was it never to walk for life or get grand? It was never none of that. It was like, no, bitch, I want to play too. So when you come to the balls, it's given. I live for when you go to the balls and you see, like, almost 20 girls, like, for runway or something. That's what I live for. So it's good that the girls live for you individually. But when I go to a ball and just, like, that night, like, you go and just see, like, tons of girls. And you're like, yes. Like, the night I wanted to walk was the night they did the animal print. Oh, my God.
That Do you actually remember? And do you actually remember your first or one? Give us a memorable first grand prize moment that you got, like you were just about to say about the night you worked, like a lovely night in your grand prize winning streak.
Like how you said, do I have what?
Can you recall a night or a real memorable night that you like just completely turned grand prize out or something that you've done as far as the ballroom in your category and grand prize that was very memorable to you?
Well, yes, definitely. I fucking wind up walking the damn ball in the Dorian Corey Award ball or something, like, in all black.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I walked and nobody came out. And I wind up getting all effective, had white contacts, and my face. I mean, it was really crazy, but nobody came out for $1,000. So.
Oh, okay. So that was in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
do you have a time where you had to sit? I've seen a couple of them, but where you had to sit tons and tons of girls that are very memorable to you?
Yeah, I love balls when they have, like, open to all. I mean female figure. So when you can get out of the drags, the femme queens, and the real women. So I love that. Yeah, so definitely.
Okay.
I loved when I did the all silver. I was already expecting Dave Varner to win that night. I had on some little panties, like some little chain bra and panties. So I'm pulling them up in the back and standing there watching everybody getting that tens. I'm like, oh, this little bitch came to play tonight. So I was ready to play with her, but then they just gave grand prize Mariah. And then we finally meet up.
Okay, so y'all did get to meet up again at the Icon Bar, right?
Well, we only met up once, which was the Icon Bar.
Which was the Icon Bar, okay. And so you was in the house, you've been walking these categories, you walk a lot of categories, and you walked them under the House of Revlon. What is it most about your house that you love?
Well, believe it or not, if it wasn't for Tony and Danielle, believe it or not, I probably would have started my own house again, and I tried before. But the funny part about it is how life works. The way that Tony and Danielle has imprinted my life, it will never be another house. So I chat about it and just be like, damn, I know I would like to start my own house, but there's nothing I can do because of the way that Tony and Danielle imprinted me outside of the ball. So you know how you have your parents and all of that stuff?
Right.
But it's like, show me who you are really when the title ain't around. And the things that they've both done for me is, like, tremendous. And so I think I'll never, ever, ever leave the House of Revlon. I'll probably battle Tony if he leaves.
Right. Okay. Who are some of your favorite people in ballroom today?
I have everybody's a favorite to Mariah. I can never be closed-minded to think that I am just the team. Mm-hmm. I am so eclectic where I really bounce off of everybody but come just with my own kind of spin. And my runway, and I want to kind of say this on the radio so people can know, everyone's like, oh, they live for my runway. My runway only comes from never having. So when I walk balls, I be hungry. The ballroom scene will be like always something that I will contribute to make them go on, because every young person needs that. Every young person needs that extra boost or experience to just, you know, find their inner self. And I think I'll never let balls go down as long as I'm walking them. But we got to get them better and stuff like that. But, yeah, I love all the people. I can go down a list and go, oh, she's my favorite, she's my girl. I live for everybody. But what I don't live for is when you're in a house and people are not stopping you to walk, like, before you get chopped. I'm like, damn this. I was a go-getter. I used to walk in sheets, bitch. Did not care. I just was like, fuck. Don't give a shit. Like, I want to win. So it was not about what I wore or how I tried to grandiose my outfit. It will just be giving me, like, I'm coming to play. And I've seen the runway clips and the girls that give what they give. They already know that my runway is to die for. And any bitch that's living and listening on the phone, whenever you're ready, you can bring it.
Your attitude is very competitive.
I see some of you guys in the chat room are giving, you don't see it. It's really not about what you don't see. It's about patting me on the shoulder. And until then, because until then, my status, I don't think it can be touched.
Okay.
So,
well, I want to say this before we go any further. You can't pay attention to the people in the chat room and what they're saying, because that's what they're saying.
No,
don't listen to them. I like your competitive attitude, though. It gets it going. So what do you think about ballroom today compared to ballroom when you started?
The ballroom scene is getting so much better. But what we have to do as people is know that it's getting better instead of carrying the old genre of how it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
The balls are getting nationwide, so you don't know where the fuck a ball is going to be at. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know where. You don't know where the ball at. I might fucking meet a bitch up in Tokyo and she might shoot me the fuck up. Or I might go to France and lose it. So it's really not about the old way of, like, just in New York. And I know that's the foundation, very much the bookmark of where it started. The balls are getting so nationwide now, but they got to carry the same room with all the balls. It's going to be as big as nationwide fight sooner or later if they don't fucking calm it down. Because everybody from their state wants to be giving, this is where I need to go, you know?
Have you ever won Grand Prize of Femme Queen Performance? I know you have danced a lot in that category. Has you ever won that category?
I have won Femme Queen Performance. In Atlanta. I've won in Baltimore against Sanaya. I am one of the girls that creeped up on Femme Queen Performance because I never knew how to vogue. And from me walking and already being legendary for runway, I'm walking this, and then I wanted to dip into commentating, and then I wanted to dip into performance. So I wanted to kind of, like, test different things out just to see if I can play and do what other girls do. That's all it was.
A lot of energy. I love it.
Never to think I'm better than, never to think nothing. It's like, ooh, I want to play too.
Right.
If you roll the dice constantly and you win, it's really nothing nobody can do.
Right. You're right about that. Well, okay, before I start to take some callers, I'm going to take a break, but I want to ask a question before I go to that break. You definitely said you were into a lot of different categories and everything, and one of you used to, when we were young, and you used to play around on the mic, you used to have, just to start about Mariah Revlon, and you used to have this chant, and it was like crazy, and everybody was living for it. How did you feel about all your commentating moments, and why did you stop?
Well, I think I just really wanted to just take a part. Nothing. That's not none of my whole story against.
Do you actually remember that chant?
Yeah, you're talking about when the house was passing out that flyer. That one.
Oh, wait. What about the Kitty Cat, Kitty Cat Cat?
If you know me by now, I had a bender something new. And if you that one?
Yes. Could you say that for me? Could you just share that with us, please?
If you know me by now, I had a thing of something new. And if you all that voguing bitch, you better catch this put a cat too. Put a cat, a put a cat, that one.
Yes, I love it. I love some of the things. And what do you think about the commentating today and how it has grown?
I'm not judgmental. I live.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I think I can't take a nobody. And the only reason why I'm giving it, I'm just so normal with what I walk and what I do. There's really
mm-hmm.
never no shade with me against another girl. I live for all the girls. But when people got to know you according to when you turn that on and off. Because outside of that, I'm just a laid back kind of girl. But at the ball, bitch, I'll be ready to take whoever down.
Right. That's the way it's supposed to be. Hit it on the floor, bring it to the floor. And a lot of times if we take our energy and our frustrations out and to the floor, ballroom will be really, really interesting and exciting because you'll be looking forward to so much being here. So if you're on the phone line, thank you for listening to the show. I am interviewing the legendary Mariah Revlon, my dear sister. And if you guys are on the phone line and you play a part in her life and have been here and would like to speak or say something, definitely feel free to press 1. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back, and we'll be taking callers. So you guys press 1 and switch for commercial. Stay right there, Mariah.
Mm-hmm.
Ballroom Throwback presents Wanted 2012, the first annual YouTube Awards Ball, March 3rd, 2012. Time, 7 p.m. until 3 a.m. Where? 841 Barreto Street, The Bronx, New York, 10451. Categories include Seven Queen Face, Smooth Criminal, Dressed in Killer Black with a Smoking Red Lip, $500 cash. Twista versus Sister, $250 cash. Add $20 to the pot, one trophy. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Legendary Performance, $500. Add $20 to the pot. Witch Queens versus Sun Queens, one trophy. Theme Battle, Grand Prize, $1,500 and one trophy. Grand Prize, $2,012 to the house with the most trophies. Ballroom Throwbacks presents Wanted 2012, the first annual YouTube Awards Ball.
Tempted to Touch presents Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous Ball. Sunday, March 24th, 2012, 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Fort Cheyenne Casino and Event Center, 2428 East Cheyenne Avenue, North Las Vegas, Nevada. Hosted by the legendary mother, Divine Chanel. Commentated by the icon, Jack Mizrahi. We are proud to say we offer the biggest cash prizes on the West Coast. No tea, no shade, no competition. Over $6,000, 3 years and counting. Categories include mini grand prize, $500 open to all runway, $500 open to all realness, $500 open to all best dress, $1,000 open to all fake car. You understand it. And 8 other $100 categories. Grand prize number 1, $1,500 open to all Vogue. Grand prize number 2, $1,500 open to all sex virus. Get ready. B2T, Tempted to Touch presents Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous Ball.
Okay, we are back. And for all you callers that may have just joined us, welcome to the show and hello to everybody in the chat room and out in Radio Land. Tonight we are into my first segment, we're interviewing the legendary Mariah Revlon, the Tell It All story. And we all know that, and if you are dear friends of Mariah, that she truly has a story that is inspirational to ballroom and to the younger community today. So we want to take time to pay homage to the legendary Mariah Revlon. I'm going to take my first call. If you're on the phone line and you'd like to be a part of this interview, please feel free to press 1 and I'll bring you on the phone line. Right now, my caller that is on the line is the pioneer icon, R.R. O.L. Chanel. You're there. Welcome to the Sister to Sister For Real show.
Hey, how's it going? I'm catching a little cold, so you have to excuse my voice. Mariah, 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 where did I begin to tell you how much I love you? Oh, my God.
How are you?
I think about you, Mariah, and all your accolades, I think about Eric Christian Bazaar and how much he loved you, you know, because I remember he took me to a ball you had in Baltimore.
Yes.
And I was just like first time out of state, and he says, no, we got to go. That's Mariah's ball, and, you know, he's working really hard to put it together. And that was before your transition and everything. And
cool.
You had such an amazing crowd, and it was so organized. So the thing that took me the most was you were so young, but you were so professional. And you always had that spirit that you have now. And the spirit that you have now is a spirit of wisdom, intelligence, and caring. Don't take it for granted, though, because you have all of that you can't flip it, and people need to know that. But at the same token, I admire you because, like myself, you're a fighter. You've overcome obstacles in your life that could have taken you out. But because of the grace of God and his mercy for us, you and I are still here. And we're here because we have to be the pioneers to give the message to the children of today that I did it for you. Like God paid for our sins, I have paid for the things that you no longer have to do. You don't have to fall to peer pressure. If you want to be a female figure, a femme queen, a butch queen in drag, be that and own it. Don't be afraid and put your stuff in a shopping bag and get dressed at your girlfriend's house. I can remember, Mariah, you would come out in full geesh with a bald head. Because that was your look.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay? You were always a runway diva. And I commend you on taking the steps that you took to get to the point where you are now with your education, with your work as a peer leader, and just giving hope and a lot of, you know, what you just said as far as being competitive and just coming and having fun, you took it back to the meaning of what ballroom really is. It's about coming in, enjoying the function, and if I get chopped, it doesn't mean that I didn't do my job. It means that I could come back and do it better the next time. Maybe I need to tweak a little something. And a lot of kids don't want to take the chop because they feel that they've arrived. But see, we knew when we got a chop, it wasn't because they were being shady. It was because they were helping us. So sometimes a chop is a good kick in the ass. And it may be coming from somebody that you think is being shady, but what they don't know is they're helping to make you stronger for the next function.
Amen.
And that's the message that you put out there. I appreciate, and this is a key, and you know, this is something between me and Mariah. It was going to be a key. You and Simone and God bless the dead, Jermaine, and my girlfriend, Miss Ricky, only a few of the girls who ever saw me up in Geesh, and you took me in the room, and you did what? Tell me what you did.
I don't want to tell it.
You painted my face. And you said, Don, this is how you're supposed to look. And we kikied about it, and we kikied about it, and it was an in-the-house kind of fun thing. And I loved
yeah.
you. I had fun with you for that, and it was a kiki and stuff like that. And we had a good time that day. And every time I just think about you, you put a smile on my face because you have such a wonderful energy about you. And when you prepare for a function and you're walking, you always do your homework. And you put your all into it. And when you walk out on that catwalk, you can see that you're tunnel vision. And your best performance to me was at the latex ball when you came out and you were all silver with the bald head.
Mm-hmm.
And that was your most amazing moment for me because you sat all those girls that night. So my thing is to say to you today, continue to be blessed, continue to move forward, and continue to be the person that you are, because you are a beautiful person, and any and everything that you get, may God continue to bless you and move in your life.
And I appreciate it so much.
Oh, thank you. R.R., that was the pioneer.
Thank you so much, R.R. Yes, you is really fucking crazy.
R.R., my new co-host for The Voice of Reason. Thank you, R.R., for coming on
You're
the
welcome.
Show. My next caller is a
thank
private
you so much,
caller.
Hello?
Hello. Welcome to the Sister to Sister for Real Show. How are you?
What's up? This is Caroline Couture. And I was calling because I just want to say that, you know, this show is so boring. Like, y'all need to hire Divine because she...
Pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. My next caller will be 678-668. You're live on the Sister to Sister for Real Show.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nicole.
Hi, how are you? And we're interviewing
Roderick,
the legendary.
How are you?
Hi, Roderick. Welcome to the Sister to Sister for
What's
Real Show.
Going on?
It's good to hear your voice. How you been?
I'm fine.
I should have known you was going to come here. Would you like to say something to the legendary diva on
Mariah,
the line today?
Mariah, I love you, Mariah.
You know what? I love you too, Roderick, with all my heart. You know that.
Okay. I just had to call in and say I love you, Mariah. That's all.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for listening to the show.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Next caller. My next caller is 443-743. Welcome to the Sister for Real Show with the legendary Mariah Revlon.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome
What's
to the Sister
up?
For Real
What's
Show.
What's up, Nicole? What's up, my sister Mariah? How your ladies doing tonight?
Hi.
What's
who's
up,
this?
Antonio? How are you?
Antonio.
I'm good.
Hi,
this is the Baltimore's own Antonio. Listen, I had to call in, Nicole. You know, I told you the last time when you interviewed Tony, you know, I look forward to listening to you every Wednesday night.
Thank you.
And when I saw it on Facebook that you was interviewing Mariah, you know, I had to get up on this line.
Okay.
Mariah, sister, baby. Oh my God! We have so much history. We go back to the first time I met you was in January of 1996 in Tubman.
Yes, yes.
If there's one thing I could tell you, I have never met anybody in this whole ballroom scene that has so much charisma and personality and talent like you have. Like every time that you and I would see each other, I would be amazed because you are so unpredictable. And nobody would never know what Mariah's going to do next. And I was so intrigued by that. And my most memorable moment that you and I have together, I will never forget when me and Randy went to the 1999 latex ball. And
latex
you had your white dress on, your knee boots, and your motherfucking red shortcut.
Yes. And
I did not know what the fuck you was going to do. And you walked Femme Queen Performance. And you and Yolanda had a Nancy red on. You was just so unbothered by that. And I was looking at you on that stage, and I said, bitch, this is amazing, because when you hit the runway, you capture that runway. And any bitch standing in your trap can motherfucking forget about it, because when you hit it straight, that night is your night, our bitch can forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Our bitch can forget about it.
That's
and
right.
Besides that, I also want to tell you, you know, besides the ballroom scene, you and I go back to, we're not just friends, we are family. I've been into your home, at your grandmother, your sister, your nephews, your nieces, everybody. And I watch you when you was at your sickest point, when you was going through the TV thing, and Randy and I was right there by your side saying, bitch, this is not your time. This is not your time. You are going to pass this. And you pass it. And Mariah, I just want to let you know.
Balls, right?
And I just want to let you know, sister, you know I love you from the bottom of my fucking heart.
And I know this from the bottom
change.
Of my heart as well.
Oh.
Thank you so much, Mariah. You know I love you so much. And
I'm still
waiting for you to come here because you still haven't met your niece yet. She just turned one.
I know. I'm coming to Baltimore really soon. I am. Trust me. I just want to get a vehicle. But Antonio, you already know.
Well, I already know. And you know me, with having a vehicle, I'm so stuck with being out here. Like, I would not hop on 95 North to save my soul, but I would definitely get on 95 North soon. If it's not for a ball, definitely to come and see my sister.
I'm definitely going to try to make it too, and still think about Randy, God bless his soul.
I know. Oh my God. And Mariah, you know, Randy was my heart. Oh my God, he was my heart. I think about that boy every day, and I'm sure he's definitely looking out on heaven and definitely showering you with all the love that he had for you.
I know that as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Antonio. And thank you for listening.
No problem, Nicole. You know I love you down, Nicole.
Yeah, I love you up back.
That's what's up.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the show. If you're on the phone line and you'd like to come on and say, give you a little kudos to Mariah, pay homage, I'm going to take a few more callers, but I won't be taking private callers. So if you are a private caller and you want to be on this phone line, you need to unblock your number and call back. We have anybody on the phone line? Six four six seven eight nine. You're live on the Sister for Real show.
See, mine don't do that, and I've had this for years.
Hello.
Hot sauce. I mean, not hot sauce. A lot of ketchup.
Hello. 646-789. You're live on the Sister for Real show.
Oh my God, what did you do? I was just listening. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
718-757. You're live on the Sister to Sister for Real show with the legendary Mariah Revlon.
What's going on, Nicole? What's
going on, Mariah?
This is Ski Prodigy.
Hi, brother. How are you?
I'm good. Just getting in from work. And I said I need to call and fuck with Mariah.
Yeah, I hope you're fucking ready.
Me and her got a solid rivalry going on right now. But, you know, I just wanted to call and, you know, tell Mariah, I remember I met Mariah when Mariah started the House of a Diva. And that was so long ago. But, like, I've seen Mariah go from the top to the bottom and worked her way back up to the top. And I just want to say that not just for the transgender community, but for you should be an inspiration to a lot of people, because I see a lot of these young kids going through the same thing. And when they hit rock bottom so hard, it's like they can't get back to the top. And to see you go through that, and I just think that is an amazing person. Like everybody say, you're one of the few people in the scene who have such good spirits when I see you. And I just feel, when I'm around you, I just feel that great, great positive energy. And I just want to thank you for that.
Wow.
But I will be in Rochester tomorrow.
I know.
So I hope you got your walking shoes. I'm going to walk you into a box. And then the shoes that I walk you into, I'm going to leave you my shoes.
Well, you heard what I told you. Just be ready. And I'm looking forward to coming to Rochester. It's such a New York City kind of state of mind, because I'm so lost of here. So come on through.
But I love you, Nicole.
You know I love you. There's
I love you,
Dale. Thank you for listening and coming
I'm
on
I'm going to just sit in and finish listening. And, you know, y'all have a good evening.
Okay, you too, Steve.
Thank you so much.
My next caller is 205-862. You're live on the Sister to Sister for Real show.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, this is my legendary sister, Danielle Icon. How are you?
How are you?
Okay.
Hi, Mariah.
How are you?
This is Danielle.
I know who the fuck this is, you bitch.
And I'm calling to say that, Mariah, I love you so much. You know, we go way back to VHS tapes. You know what I mean? And you're one of the realest bitches I ever met in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
You really, really are. But everything that you've been through and all that you overcame, I've seen your strengths, I've seen your weaknesses, I've seen all that, I've seen you overcome shit. You know what I mean? It's not about what you go through, it's about overcoming it, and you are definitely one of the girls that overcame a lot of shit.
Amen.
a lot of shit, whether it was health, whether it was injustice, whether it was discrimination, industry, and all that. You've been through all of that. So you definitely have a story to tell a lot of people, because there is discrimination in this scene, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you've been through all that and overcame all that, and I commend you for that. And tonight, I speak your name.
Okay.
Oh, wow. And I'm so amazed. Wow. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, Mariah.
Oh. Thank you, Yelly, for coming on the Sister to Sister for Real show. Thank you for supporting me. That's the legendary Danielle Icon. Next caller would be 908-374. You are live on the air. Next and last caller. Welcome to the Sister to Sister for Real show.
Hello?
Hello. Hello. Welcome to the Sister for Real show with the legendary Mariah Revlon.
Good evening. Good evening. Hi, Mariah. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
For me to be, like, a stranger to Mariah, like, I'm a new kid in the scene or whatever, for me to be a stranger to her and for me to, like, hear her story, like, it's really inspiring because we're both Scorpios. Shout out to the Scorpios. We're both Scorpios. And the fact that I could be a new kid and I could think that, okay, it doesn't matter, like, if I get chopped, because I have been chopped before, I always learn from my chops. And for her to say that and give that to the kids also, that's wonderful. That's like what a legend should do. That's what a elder should do. And I commend you for that, because you're teaching the new kids that you shouldn't gag with a chop. Like, a chop is for you to bring it back better next time. You're teaching kids that they can overcome anything. You're teaching kids that they can go from category to category. Don't be scared. You can do runway. You can do femme queen performance. You can commentate. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. You're giving kids hope. And I really, really love and appreciate you for that. So tonight I speak your name also, the legendary icon, Mariah Revlon.
Well, thank you.
You just fucked it. I like you. Thank you for calling the Sister to Sister for Real show. Thank you. Go ahead.
And then, wait a minute. Hold on, Mr. Saint. Atlanta 2 Live on this chat. Yes, we are, bitch. We are. So what? Somebody put me a Scorpio the whore. That's what it is.
Oh, God, the Scorpios, and that is no tea, as sure as the truth. I'm going to take a little bit more. I'm going to take a few more callers because they said there's more callers on the line, and then we're going to go into finish up the Mariah interview, and we're going to all come back next Wednesday to do part two because her interview is so strong. And then we're moving to the second segment, which will be our special guest, the pioneer icon, Robbie St. Laurent, founder and mother of the House of St. Laurent. And we will be gracefully blessed to have him grace his royalty, grace this floor tonight. So I'm going to take a couple of more callers, and then we're going to go back into speaking to Mariah, and we're going to move on. So my next caller is Switchboy. Let's see. Oh, things just got different. Oh, okay. Well, so we're going to go into your thing. Okay, so a lot of people... Okay, first, before I ask, you said we talked about how young you were when you came out and your family situations and definitely your competitive attitude for ballroom and your ambitious and energy that you could just walk in and just jump in and be a part of it. I love that. I really love that. I want to talk about, and I heard a lot of people mention on the phone, you've been basically based out of Baltimore. Is that correct?
Majority of my younger upbringing, yes, in Baltimore, but Baltimore, D.C., I would always, like, go to D.C. for different, like, family events and trying to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, okay.
Baltimore.
Several years before I go into this other, my question that was more deep and everything, have you ever been the mother of the House of Revlon?
I've been the mother of the House of Revlon since 2009 for New York and New Jersey. But not the overall mother, no.
No, okay. Okay, that's good. And one more question to my ballroom thing. Well, in the late 90s or the mid-90s, who was and or who is your favorite femme queen of all time?
My favorite?
Femme queen of all time.
My favorite would have to be Danielle. You know, as you come out, you'll go and meet different femme queens or see them. It is only be one that take you. And Danielle took me. I was living in Baltimore, and she invited me all the way up into her home, all the way to New York, you know, just certain things. So I would say Danielle the most.
Okay. Well, if you had to give a message to the children that are listening on the phone line and that is in part of a part of ballroom, or those who would like to be a part of ballroom, what would be the message of encouragement you would give to them?
I would tell everyone that's listening or on the chat line to sit down with a pen and paper and futuristically map out some plans with your life. As African Americans, not including the world, and yes, I am talking about worldwide, we are dying by the wayside. And in order for us to really see a future with our younger generation, we need to really buckle up. We really need to take a stand and go, no, not tonight. I can be sexually active, but I need to be protected. But if you're giving, I don't give a fuck and fuck it, we need to be prepared. So sit down, I would say, write down some dreams and some goals, very much like the bucket list. That's what's really what 2012 is giving, working and becoming a psychologist and learning the statistics about HIV and AIDS and how we're headed in the future. I will want that. I will want that being at 36 years old, telling the next young person, fuck you, fuck about being gay and wanting to walk balls. Do you want to be safe, and do you want to live your life? Then we can kiki and vogue later. We can do all of that later. Because guess what? We got to do a genre list of all the girls that passed away. These bitches are dead. So we have to learn from them and learn from the people that are no longer here and figure out why did they pass for whatever reason and try to change that. And if HIV and AIDS is killing us as African Americans, we need to detour. If we don't detour, we're going to crash. So I would just say that. Write down some dreams. Write down some goals. What do you want to do with your future? Because that's all you have to kind of like fight for. Because the right now, I see that it's really kind of effed up. We need to really get on the shit. We really need to like go very much every black person stand across the world and hold hands and go, like, okay, take care of the people that are positive, get them well, make them live forever or try your best. But everybody else that ain't positive, bitch, they better wake the fuck up. It's giving Armageddon. No read, no shade. It's giving, like, hello. So you got to really balance that out and go, do I want something really out of this life, or I'm just going to breathe every day? I'm just going to breathe. I was young. I was gay. I was hanging out. I was partying. But every time I came from the ball, I wanted to grab some type of book. I wanted to sing some type of song. I wanted to hit some type of beat. I wanted to dance to some type of drum. I was given no because I was entwined with what we do. And being African-American, transgender, 36 years old, thank God I'm not positive, but I fight. I give, like, I think we need to put all the balls on pause, like 2 fucking years so everybody gets some education, and then start putting educational quotes in all the categories to see what the fuck these bitches are learning. Because I can scream for you dipping. But, bitch, how do I know if you can read or write or to know if you can take care of me if I become positive? So, bitch, it's cute that we kiki, laugh, do all of that. But, baby, I say look into the future and see what you can grab. Because I'm telling
you. Wow. Thank you. And that was a message. A message I secondly approve from the legendary Mariah Revlon. So I would hope that all you people and all you callers on the phone line that you take heed to that because it can save your life. So Mariah, you started off with that, and that was going to be my next segment because this is something very dear to my heart. And if we as people in the community and society, not just gay, are dealing with this really, really strong, and it has been rocking our younger generation in the late days of these years that have passed seriously than ever. What is your input on the whole HIV and AIDS virus that is completely damaging our community? And have you ever lost anyone truly dear to this?
I think my first gay mother, which was Chip Revlon, God rest her soul. She met me in front of Buns one night when I was like 14 years old and told me that one day I will be running a country. She wanted to name me a name that would like very much be more so like empowerment. So like at 14 years old, I was even carrying the name Mariah, but she just was telling me, you're going to go far. And her first lover that she ever had gave her the virus. So right there was a first beginning stage waking call. And yes, I have indulged in all my negative behaviors, but I like to play very retarded a lot of time and just like act like the condom is popping and take it out and very dramatic, like, no, bitch, you know, scary, but wanting to cut up, you know. It's crazy, and I don't want to come off no grander than the next person, but I have such a caring heart for the next man, and I will want somebody to be pushing me with my same information. That's the scary part. Like, listen, wrap it up, pull it together. Listen, okay, it's okay. And even with the people that I know that live with the virus and even close friends that I have passed, I don't really talk to them about having the virus. I talk to them about how do they want to change the future and what do they want to do while they're on Earth. And I also get mad that we just nothing but a clip on YouTube once we pass. So I want to, I don't know. And I have did the genres of everything that everybody can do. But I guess my overcoming them is given that I will let nothing hold me down. And I think from my growing up in my childhood, knowing that when you've been at the bottom, it's really no other way but up. It's truly not. But what I got to do now is just be more mindful and more prepared for my future to know that I want to live better. And why not just not have the spotlight of being Mariah, but helping another person is definitely what I'm all about. Because I remember who helped me.
Amen. 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 I appreciate that. Wow, I appreciate that. Okay, and my next, I'm going a little bit deeper with you here because I have about half an hour here with you. So we, you know, and we got to go here because this is before your whole transformation. Along, I know myself and, you know, other people have known and a lot of people come on the show and have came on the show tonight and they have talked about you being a testimony and you have coming back and been, you know, fought through having tuberculosis. And is it safe to say that you were a part of the whole academic thing that was going on in Baltimore when tuberculosis was running extremely rapid? How did that affect your life and how did it change it?
Wow, I would say I was 19 years old wanting to just travel. I lived in different states wanting to just be me, experience. I didn't want to just be caught up in one little small portion of what Baltimore's supposed to be or what D.C.'s supposed to be. I wanted to, like, get out and see what's what. So as I was traveling, I wound up hitting Atlanta. And when I got to Atlanta, I'm 19 years old, hanging out and partying. I wound up getting into an incident with being in a car, stolen car. After I jumped out that incident, I hit it. I come back to Baltimore, and I rapidly just, like, started losing weight and just was, like, losing control. I just really wasn't in tune with what was going on with me physically. Mm-hmm. I just knew that I was breathing. So right. In my deterioration process, I was not aware of what it could have been. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I'm just like, what? But I knew for a fact that my daily motions was not as normal as they should be. I'm like, wait a minute. So as I was just trying to go to functions, I was mentally catching different people that were having verbal conversations about me having HIV and AIDS and, oh, my God, did you see Mariah, blah, blah, blah. So according to that, I wound up just, like, staying in the house and never, like, getting up. So I think, like, two days, according to me, about to pass away, my sister wound up taking me to the hospital, and they wound up telling me that, like, I had tuberculosis, and like they fucking tested me. They fucking, oh, I was just like very much like quarantined, very much scary to like, OMG, like what the hell? And so they wind up doing tests, going down to the club, testing people, and going to Atlanta. It was really, really, really crazy.
What so, is it? What exactly is tuberculosis for those who don't know? Did they explain what exactly is tuberculosis and what could it do to you?
Well, tuberculosis is a challenging medical illness where it's similar to HIV and AIDS, but HIV and AIDS, you wind up catching it through the semen or the, you know, unprotected sex. But TB is much scarier to me, have happened to catch it before because it's airborne. And you really don't even know where you would catch it from. So I wasn't even in the whole state of mind of knowing that I caught something from the air in ATL and wind up coming to back to Baltimore, you know?
So when is
so
it safe to say?
I wind up, huh?
No, go ahead. Go ahead, finish what you're saying.
No, I wind up getting swollen lymph nodes. I had fluid on both of my lungs all the way up to the top. I think, like, if I wouldn't have got checked in the hospital, like, 48 hours prior to my sister bringing me in, I just could have lost my life. So I wind up going on this, like, heavy medication for almost, like, 2 years. So once I went through that traumatic transition with that, I wind up wanting to, like, alter and change who I was. So I was not no longer comfortable being who I was back then. And so that's when the transformation thing all came about, because I was just comfortable going to balls, winning, getting up in drags, walking runway, and just leaving and stuff like that.
So did that traumatic experience, you know, to say that the traumatic experience changed the person as we knew to the person that you are?
I would definitely say most definitely, yeah. Everything that I have wind up embracing throughout my 26 years has made me change into the next person I am, and which is today.
So when you came back to Atlanta and after you didn't know what was quite going on with you, I mean, that must be horrible. I remember that time and when Baltimore was being quarantined, and that you did not get it in Baltimore. Is that what you're saying? Did this is something that happened to you when you were in Atlanta? And is it safe to say that because you came to Baltimore that and was a part of the club scene and everything, and it's an airborne disease, other people has been infected from it?
Right, but I would just kind of say that in a nutshell, that we live in a small world.
Yes, indeed.
You think you went to Tokyo, don't think you ain't mess or chat with somebody in Florida. So that's how that go. But it looks more like a yo-yo kind of sense on the diagram. On a diagram. So I'm just so like shocked to know that. But when I recovered from that, I wanted to kind of, you know.
So you basically just switched your whole life and then you became Mariah.
Yeah.
And you started moaning. And how was that process for you? And back to what we were just talking about, God bless you. You're truly a testimony and a walk of life, and I also speak your name to have lived through so many. And for anybody who have lived through a traumatic experience where they could have lost their life or was in a situation where they could have lost their life, God bless you too, because you are still here, and you should tell your story to encourage the other ones. So I appreciate you, and I appreciate you speaking the truth, and I speak your name as well. How was the transformation for you in the beginning when it was time for you to transfer into being a film queen? And did you stay in Baltimore?
Well, I was still living in Baltimore. I wound up getting a lawsuit, and this was before I even transitioned. So, like, when I transitioned to become a film queen, that started off in the whole beginning, oh, my God, how
okay,
do I get
okay, so
control?
Hold that pause. Okay, because hold that pause because that's also a very big thing. Was it your lawsuit became before the transformation or right in between?
Yes.
And what did that's a big topic for everybody on the phone line, and after we speak to this, I'm going to take a few callers. But I've spoken to lots of people, and, you know, I've been doing my homework. I always try to do as much homework and everything, and it's a big juice with the money, Mariah. It's a lot with the money. There's been lots of rumors that you had a significant amount of money, and, you know, some rumors have stated, you know, just rumors that you were being used. Everybody in the House of Revlon you bought this for, and you had this people, and that you had took this money and you just went over it. How did this lawsuit money come about, and how did it change your life?
Well, let me say this really quickly, because that part has been a story with mine that always come back two times told, but it always come back different. I have never been used for anything. Mm-hmm. I grew up with nothing. So when I got that lawsuit at 19 years old, I splurged it with whoever I could. It was never giving use me or to my knowledge, and I don't give a hell what their mission was. My mission was like, sure, do you not know who I am?
Amen.
So my life balance really with me becoming a mentor, teacher, mother, that doesn't really come from probably per se if I wanted to come from me. That come from, like, because there's really no other way. And wishing that someone would have been with me from day one and given me, like, the rules and regulations of what to do.
Right.
So I'm one of the people that's in the world that really can't complain about anything, because God kind of blessed me with these unique abilities to maneuver my life around.
Okay.
So I am very distraught that I didn't grow up with no parents, but it's like a don't cry situation because I am alive. It's one of those very self-centered, it's nothing you can do, bitch, is given, like, look what you can do. So
okay.
The things that I'm doing makes me believe and know that if you're out there and listening, you can have parents or not, but you can do anything. I grew with none, still don't have none, still go to sleep with none. But my ambition, according to wanting to change the world, hungers over my want of wanting parents. Yeah, I was younger and cried, oh, my God, where's my mother? Look, Ma, I can sing. Look, Ma, I can dance. Look, Ma, I can draw. Look, Ma, I can do Michael Jackson. But once you get over that that psychosis, you give it, okay, what are you going to do now? So it was always like, do what you have to do. But yet my doing what I have to do became a motherly vibe, or I don't know what it came to, but I know that I just have to, like, do something with my life. And so I like to empower those that's around me, period. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't even know why I like to empower. Maybe I don't even feel like empowering nobody, but it's really no other way.
So that's why you did what you – well, that's what that answers why you did what you do. But how did you come about the famous lawsuit?
Well, it's really a damn – how you call it? Like it was like a fresh notebook with a whole bunch of screws and marbles thrown in it. So I think I was young, living with my family in Baltimore. I wind up, I think – fucking eating paint and shit off the wall, like, very much, like, hello.
Nice. Da-da-da-da. Okay.
Yeah, like, you know, looking at the plaster like it's fucking chewing gum. So, the famous part, you wind up doing it in the fact of the matter, and you just look at it. So I wind up getting, like, lead poisoning, and I was young, 19 years old, going to school, singing in the choir, all types of stuff like that. And they would used to just snatch me out of school and take me to these meetings. And I'm young. I'm just, you snatching me. I'm like, okay, we going. So,
right.
You know, like 13, I guess, is when I cut the rope. I'm giving all right. Mm-hmm. So I wound up going to all these little meetings and didn't even know what the hell was going on, talking to the people. But as I'm going to the meeting, these people gagging at me. I'm up to dancing all the
Okay.
It's like, ain't nothing wrong with these ladies. So I wound up telling them that I'm just like, what? It was more so like I can do anything. So pretty much the first person that's finished her class in school, they give it, anybody done, I'm giving me. So I just, it's crazy because I just challenged that, going to the balls. I'm giving, oh, I want to walk, then just walking and walking and walking and walking. So that's how they go. But even in real life, just walking and trying to make it. So I'm currently now, like, busting my ass on college. I go to school alone, so that's kind of challenging.
Is that fun for you?
It's very fun and intellectual because you don't wind up having to do anything with nobody. But they trick you because the first time I started, they started asking shit like, hi, how are you? What's going on? They ask you about your life history and shit, right? So I'm giving, okay. So they were breaking me down with Mad 100. The next course, the bitches started hitting me with like 3-page papers. I'm like, you know what? But since I've been going since 09, and everything's been going really, really, really swell. I recommend it to anybody.
Okay.
It's so amazing to get your education as a LGBT without the confusion. And then it's so amazing. It is. I'm gagging that I'm still going to school online. Just did a homework tonight online.
Well, that's good. Well, we, all you people out there that's listening and you feel you can't be in the atmosphere, you definitely have the opportunity today in 2012 to go to line. Well, I'm going to take some callers. It's 1246. We have to start preparing for the pioneer himself, Robbie St. Laurent. We're going to take some few callers. You callers out there that would like to get pay homage and give your, pay your dues and respects to the legendary Mariah Revlon, feel free to press 1. And I guess we're going to go, let me see if we're going to just go right into that. Do I have any callers on the line, switchboard? This is hold on a second. Just give me a second, you guys. But for you all that just joined the phone line tonight, tonight I am interviewing my part one segment, the legendary Mariah Revlon on the Sister to Sister For Real show. If you're on the phone lines and you have been listening, it's been very interesting. There will be a part two. So next Wednesday, look forward to the whole transitioning and her becoming the woman that she is today and all that she had to encounter to do so. So we're going to take the next caller, and it's 404-447. Welcome to Sister For Real show.
Hey, Nicole. Hey, Mariah.
Hey, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Nicole, your show is late. Hey.
Excuse me? He can go. Next caller. So I'm so confused. The next caller... 201-780, you're live on the Sister to Sister For Real show.
Hello, Nicole. Hello, Mariah.
Hi. Welcome.
Hi, Mariah. It's Rodney.
It's who?
Rodney.
OMG, OMG, OMG. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, my love? I stayed up late. I'm good, I'm good. I just want to call in to say, you know, how much I love you. You know, we go way back. And, you know, I've seen you go through a lot, you know. And I just want to say that if anyone in the ballroom scene deserves the title of icon, it is you. Because you are a living testimony of, you know, what it means to persevere, to go through, so many hardships and bounce back and, you know, be the role model that you are now for the young people. Like, you are the one of the living legends that young people look up to. I've seen you in the program with your kids, how you mentor them, you tutor them. You know, they want to learn how to walk runway. You teach them. You don't mind teaching them things. You don't mind teaching them performance. You don't mind
you know, educating them and taking them under your wing, and you don't expect anything back in return. You know, that's what, you know, it's about. You know, for a person to go live their life and never have parents, you possess all the parenting skills that a person could possibly, you know, wish to have. And, you know, I'm a parent myself, so I know. And, you know, I just want to tell you, you know, continue doing what you do outside the ballroom scene and in the ballroom scene. And as a friend, you are one of my best friends. You know, you've been there for me, and you've been, you know, my support when I've had my, you know, my hard times. And, you know, I just wanted to say I love you and, you know, continue doing what you do.
Thank you. Thank you.
From the bottom of my heart, wow.
Oh, that's amazing. Amen. Thank you for calling in and sharing your feelings. I appreciate that. Do we have any more phone callers on the phone line if we are interviewing the legendary Mariah Revlon? If you guys would like to pay homage, or we have 10 more minutes into the show, you guys can press 1 and we can come online and you can do so. Any more callers? If there's any callers. Well, if you're on the phone line and you want to join into this conversation, we have 10 more minutes before we move into the pioneer, Robbie St. Laurent. Feel free to press 1 at any time, and I'll bring you up here to come on this line. Switchboard, if we have any callers, just let me know. I'm here at the computer. Okay, so, Mariah, I'm going to move forward a little bit with, because I don't know if we have any callers or if anybody's there, but I'm going to move on forward with all that you have been through and everything. I'm sure that I've seen, and I know myself, that it has prompted you to be more involved in the LGBT community and any HIV and advocacy. What are some of the places, and where are some of the places you work that is with for HIV advocacies, or any advocacies that was for meant for those purposes, or any other purposes for help or shelter and anything?
Well, I wound up working at the LGBT Center on 13th Street in New York City. Wound up working at New Jersey, Newark, NJCRI, which is a youth center in Newark, New Jersey. I wound up working at the Bronx Cross Center teaching voguing classes. I also wound up getting my, it's like a voguing degree that you'll get for, like, teaching the classes up at the Bronx Cross. So, and now I'm currently working up here in Rochester, New York, at another youth center for African-American youth.
How was your transitioning in Rochester?
My transitioning in Rochester was amazing because I left New York City very much down and out on unemployment, but yet still going to college online. So that was like my only breathing utility I had at the moment. So I wound up moving to New Jersey with employment, and then I wound up staying at a hotel for 3 weeks, and now I got like my own place. And everything is going well. Everything is going super, super well. So I am so much in a better place where I know that I had a rough childhood and things did not go the way I want to.
We have a caller, too.
I just want to be living proof.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, finish. You can finish it, though.
No, I'm just saying I just want to be living proof that, like, you can come from, like, whatever. I'm cool with how I grew up today. I'm cool with it. Because I'm so excited now, I'm being 36 years old, so I can't even believe I made it this far.
Amen. Well, I can. All right, we have a lot of callers on the phone line. We're going to do this short, please. If you're coming up here, we have about 6 more minutes into the show. You know, say, give your pay homage, and we need to move forward. I don't want to rush anybody or cut anybody off, so please just let's go through these callers. My next caller is 718-755. Welcome to the Sister to Sister For Real show with the legendary Mariah Revlon. 718-755, you're on the air. I guess not. My next caller, I guess the caller's not there. 718-210, you're live on the Sister to Sister For Real show.
Hey, Nicole. Hey, Mariah.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, okay?
I'm fine, okay?
Mariah knows who this is. I love you dearly, Mariah. I know you for how many years? 13 years? And I just want to come here and just say I love you.
I'm just like not even counting no more. You heard me, Claudia. I'm just not even going to count no more. But, yes, I love you so much, too. Thank you.
This lady has been there for me through everything, and I've been there for her. And I remember when I lost my job, this lady fed me. She was my neighbor as well. She's something special. And we're starting a campaign on Facebook for you to get your icon status.
Okay,
yeah,
y'all just sparking it. Thank you, Claudia, for coming up here. Y'all sparking it.
Okay, so I'm giving OMG. Is that what you're doing?
Thank you, Claudia, for calling in. My next caller is. Okay, that's
love Claudia so much. Wow, yeah, we used to live together in Jersey, or Vermont. Wow.
Okay, so I'm going to start wrapping it up right now because it's 12:55 and I have to play my commercials. Mariah, I will be back here with you Wednesday. I wish I could have been able to go further, but it's very rare do we get to honor somebody of royalty like Robbie. And I know you know a lot about him, so I would like for you to still stay on the phone line.
I'm
going
to have to sing and listen too because I want to hear him talk too.
And you know, we all know that he's the truly founder, mother, and you know, I can't put in words. But tonight, I thank you all for listening to the Mariah and myself and the Sister to Sister for Real show, and we will be able to get more intimate and more into her love life and what she likes and what she likes to do and how she likes to do it next Wednesday at 11:30. So definitely be looking forward to tuning into that, and we will be ending that with another special guest to be ending the Mariah Revlon. So Mariah, I greatly appreciate you coming up here. You've been my friend for a very, very long, my sister, and I've known you for just the day I came out. And I appreciate you coming up here, and I appreciate all the callers calling and listening, and I thank you so very much for giving your time to just be the truth. And that's just, I have to say, you are the truth, and you do not find the truth around a lot at all. So I appreciate you being the truth, and you're truly a blessing, and God favored you, and he's been favoring you all your life. So thank you very much for coming up on the show. So could you give your closing statements and give a little word to your listeners and your dear friends that are on the phone line?
Well, I would definitely say anyone that's listening, thank you for listening. For all those that love me or for all those or whatever, but I want to make sure that I do my part as a person to do whatever I can to make my life get better as well as others. So I will be trying to make sure I'll stick around those that will be doing the same thing. I'm really getting more serious about, like, my friends and who I love, my children, the people that I consider like someone to me. I'm reaching out to them just because I don't even know no more. And since I've been out since 91, I've lost a ton of people. So the people now that I want to embrace is, like, just really serious to me. And once I see that they're serious about embracing me, then we'll move forward. Other than that, I'm on some other stuff. I'm trying to finish school and do a lot of things, but at the same time empower those that I can. So I hope I didn't offend anyone tonight from what I said. I just want to speak from my heart and be myself and at the same time help another as we go along. And thank you, Nicole, for interviewing me. I'll be looking forward to next week, and I am definitely happy that we did this.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'm just going to put you in the queue. And what was going to happen, people, y'all, everybody that's on the phone line, I want you guys to remain on the phone line. Like I said, just a little bit about the next this is where I get nervous. I got to light my cigarette. Okay, this is royalty that is going to grace this phone line tonight. This is the founder of not just the House of St. Laurent, but the founder of a lot of long-lasting beauties that have graced it the runway today. I respect and love this man for everything that he has been in the ballroom scene. So we're going to go to commercial, and we're going to come back with the pioneer icon, founding mother of the House of St. Laurent, and we will get as intimate as we can. So you stay right there, and we'll be right back.
T2C, Center to Touch presents Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous Ball, Sunday, March 24th, 2012, 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Fort Cheyenne Casino and Event Center, 2428 East Cheyenne Avenue, North Las Vegas, Nevada. Hosted by the legendary mother, Divine Chanel. Commentated by the icon, Jack Mizrahi. We are proud to say we offer the biggest cash prizes on the West Coast. No tea, no shade, no competition. Over $6,000, 3 years and counting. Categories include mini grand prize, $500 open to all runway, $500 open to all realness, $500 open to all best dress, $1,000 open to all safe. Car, you understand it. And 8 other $100 categories. Grand prize number one, $1,500 open to all Vogue. Grand prize number two, $1,500 open to all Sex Virus. Get ready. T2T, Tech to Touch presents Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous Ball.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. I am just so gagging at that song. This is going to be such a very, very interesting interview. So if you're on the phone lines and you are a mother and a father, and this is true royalty that will be bracing the floors of Blog Talk Radio, Tenzin Chop, for the very first time. So I would like for all of you members, all you people and all you listeners and everybody that's not on the phone line, go tell your girlfriend, the founder, the pioneer icon of the House of St. Laurent, Robbie St. Laurent, is now on the air. Hello.
Hello. Oh, my God.
Hi, Robbie.
That build-up is so wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule, and it's so late to come on and just bridge this gap for me.
No,
I appreciate
no
it.
No
I feel so honored. You are definitely royalty here tonight on my show. This is the Sister to Sister For Real show, and it's just dedicated to history and bridging the gap. And, you know, it was late brief when I found out we can give somebody such significance of yourself, but I gathered up as much history as I could so I can interview you and hear a lot of things that you brought and done for this ballroom scene and in this ballroom community, the community itself. So I truly, truly thank you for coming here and giving us this time. It's a pleasure.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you for having me.
And say, okay, how this works is I'm going to interview you, and I'm going to give a short period of questions and stuff, and, you know, you take the floor. I'm sure you know how to do this, and it's explaining to us about the history and your personal history and the ballroom history that you have been around and have walked and paved the way for everyone. And then we'll probably go to a commercial break, and then we'll have some callers who will come on and pay homage or maybe ask a question or have a memorable moment with you. And then we'll go back into interviewing, and then we'll do that again. So
okay.
You'll actually be able to be graced by the community as a whole, which is there will be a lot of and is a lot of callers on the phone. So I today have had the pleasure of going in and getting into your business. It's like a J. Edgar Hoover, like trying to figure out. Yeah, it's like trying to figure out. And I personally, who is a history person and knows everything about and try and at least try to know everything, learned a lot today about yourself. And that's why I'm just so nervous and honored to actually be on the phone with you today.
Well, I hope you didn't learn too much because I don't want everybody to know everything. But I'll be as honest as I possibly can, though.
And I appreciate that. So, okay, Pioneer Icon. I'm going to start off first of all. Like, where were you born? I'm going to say it's just a 3-segment question. Where were you born, and did you live in a house with both parents, and do you have any siblings?
Brooklyn, New York, Kings County Hospital.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I'm a Brooklynite all my life, except, you know, I've been in Manhattan for the last 20-some-odd years, though, but I'm originally from Brooklyn. I grew up with both parents. They separated when I was probably about five years old, and we're talking, like, you know, long, long time ago. I don't want to say the year. Around the time I don't want to give out. Everybody doesn't need to know how old I am, basically.
Ooh,
is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so basically true.
Yeah, but both parents. I went to live with my grandmother probably around 5 years old and came back to live with my mom around 16, 17. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the rest kind of like unfolded, you know, with the coming out of the closet at 17 and hanging out in the village and, you know, running around and, you know, bumping into this ballroom queen who introduced me to this ballroom queen. And the next thing I know, I'm going to the balls at around age 19, I want to say.
Oh,
with
wow.
My first ball. Yeah. About 19.
You're not going to tell us
like,
a year.
Well, yeah. My first ball was 1982.
Okay.
Rich and Ebony.
How did your family feel about you being different? Like, at what point in time did you know you were different? And how did your family feel about that?
Well, my family, you know, they were, surprisingly, my mom, she took it the hardest because, you know, I'm the oldest from, I have three younger brothers from my mom. And then I had older siblings from my father's side. So, my father had two sets of kids. And me being the oldest boy from my mom, you know, she kind of took it the, you know, hardest because I came out the closet at 17. So that was 1980 to be exact. So if you know if your math skills are up, you can figure out how old I am and how old I will be in less than 2 months.
Okay.
And you know, so Dad took it pretty well. You know, Dad was like, "Well, I knew what you were going to be when you were 5 years old." You know, whereas Mom was like, "Oh my God, you're gay and you're this and you're that," but she got over it, child.
Okay.
especially when I started going to the balls and stuff, and I was bringing home trophies, and me and Miss Octavia bringing home trophies, because, you know, Octavia was living with me at the time, because, you know, she wasn't with her mom, you know, because my mother wasn't as accepting as my mom was.
Right.
And my mom was that type of person, you know, she brought in all kinds of strays, or, you know, somebody needed a place to live or sleep on a couch or whatever. You know, she was more than, you know, willing to take them in and, you know, she was just that type of mom. She was hard on me, but she was good to my friends, which was kind of weird. So
yeah, but how was it like? Did you first come out? Well, did you first come out into the gay community, and then you found ballroom? Tell us a little bit about how the whole coming out and you finding your entry into ballroom.
Oh, 17 is when I came out, 1980. I was in Erasmus Hall. I graduated 81 by the skin of my teeth because, you know, by that time I was like 18 and I already started hanging out in the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, the way it usually worked, if you lived in the New York area, your coming out ground was the village.
Mm-hmm.
you know, that's when the Village was basically 24 hours, you know, when we had the old pier and we had the warehouse that was like an old abandoned building where people would, like, you would see people sleeping in there. And it was basically a place that, you know, kids who were either hanging out to escape their family lives or their real lives or whatever it was, it was that kind of community that kind of, like, welcomed you, you know? Like, you could literally come out your house with not $2, not 2 cents in your pocket and eat all day long.
Day long in the Village.
Someone's going to feed you, you know? Yes. There was stores and, you know, we shoplift. We did whatever we could, you know, to survive, you know? And the Village was just that type of place where you can just go and get the love that you weren't necessarily getting at home.
So how, okay, so after coming out, being in the Village and stuff, and how did you get introduced to ballroom? What was, do you remember your first ball?
Oh, I remember my first ball like it was yesterday. It was Richard Ebony's at the WAJ Ballroom on 125th and 5th Avenue. I was 19. I was introduced to the balls by a dear friend of mine who's no longer with us, Kenny Felder, Kenny Ebony.
I remember Kenny, yes, I do.
Well, you know, we grew up together. We knew each other from, like, third grade. We lived around the corner from each other, so we knew each other from public school, and then we reunited when we got to, you know, to high school. And so basically Kenny was, like, my liaison into the ball world, you know? And, you know, he was an Ebony, and I really wasn't interested in, like, being in the house because, you know, I was kind of, like, a little nervous about it. You know, I just wanted to go and see what it was like. So by the time I got up the nerve to go, I had already assembled a few people, and we were hanging out in the garage one night. I remember it was myself, Octavia, and the original mother of the House of St. Laurent, Chris, who was originally from Florida, but she lived in Jersey. And we basically started kicking some names around in the club. And I came up with, well, what about the House of Yves Saint Laurent? And then Chris said, how about we just drop the Yves and call it Saint Laurent? So that was our name. That was our clique. We were like maybe five or six of us at that time. And we came out as a house at Richard Ebony's Ball. And that was in 1982.
And what are some of the categories that you walk and have walked in ballrooms?
Oh, let's see. My category mainly was, because I was always, you know, I consider myself a little fashion forward even back then. You know, my category was either runway or back then they had things, a category called leather versus suede that I really liked. You know, where your ensemble had to be either leather or suede or both. Evening wear was a category that I liked a lot. Won that a couple of times. And I won one face trophy. Back in 1984.
Yes.
My only one.
I was so happy that you did walk ways at least one time.
I walked it a couple of times, actually, but I only won one.
Oh, because you won. So you did one. You walked a couple, but you did get your one.
I got my one, yes.
Yes.
I was content with that. But, you know, because I was always into, you know, the fashion thing, because, you know, I worked in retail at a very, you know, young age. And I was always that one ball person slash queen who, you know, I knew that the balls was just really kind of like a hobby, you know, so I always kept like a job, you know, because I didn't want to be, you know, one of those type of people that just fell into that hole, you know, or let's go out and break some windows or, you know, rob a couple of stores, even though I did all of that too. But I always was smart enough to keep, you know, that 9 to 5 or that 10 to 6 or whatever I had to have those little extras so that I can promote myself. And, you know, and attend the balls, you know, and do what I wanted to do.
Amen. Message America. And all you callers are on the phone line. That was a very good message. Did you catch that jab my father would say to me? Okay, so is it safe to say that the Pioneer House of St. Laurent is actually your first house?
It's my only house.
Oh, really?
I've never been in any other houses, no. That was my brainchild, and it was my vision, and it just, you know, kind of like snowballed after, you know, we won a couple of, you know, trophies. Octavia, actually,
history about that.
Well,
I mean,
the first ball, which was Richard Ebony's in 1982 on 125th and 5th Avenue, the first person to win a trophy for our house was someone who's still with us. His name is Terrence St. Laurent. He's the father of my house. He used to walk body. He won first place. So that back then, if you if your if your house was coming out and one person won, that means that your house was officially opened.
Okay.
You know, I don't know the way it works now because the balls have changed, you know, the politics have changed so drastically. I couldn't tell you what the criteria is now. But back then, you had to, somebody in your house had to win, and then you build on that. And then I remember the next person to win was Octavia. She won Butch, Queen, and Drags, this ball in Jersey we went to.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there was a female in our house that went to school with Octavia. Her name was Sherma. She used to win Face all the time because she was just like, she was from, people were from Guyana, so she was like, drop dead gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we all started falling in line. You know, then I came after that. I won a couple of trophies for evening wear, whatever it was, and then it just kind of like snowballed after that.
Okay, I have learned, along with doing your history, this is one of the things that I love. You are the architect of some of the fabulous and well-known beauties of the 80s and the early 90s. Could you name a few, maybe five or six girls that you actually brought and molded and that were your beautiful idols in the House of Saint Laurent?
Okay, oh gosh, where do I start? Because there were so many back then.
A lot of people wants to hear, or, you know, I was amazed when I heard it myself. You know, so I would like for you to just go down the list of the just the beautiful girls and what they walked and how you mold them.
Okay, let's see. Well, Octavia first, you know, I put her first pair of heels, so that's how that happened. Then there was, actually, a lot of people don't know this, Carmen Extravaganza was in our house. First, we brought her, you know, we introduced her to the balls. So she's, you know, she was a Saint Laurent for about a good year, maybe a little longer, and then she became Extravaganza. And then we had a girl from Detroit originally, but she lived in New York. Her name was Crystal. Beautiful. She looked like, you know, she looked like anything. She could look like Whitney Houston. She could look like Tracy Ross. I mean, she had like, she was like a chameleon. She could just look like anything. Beautiful, beautiful child. I haven't seen her in years. I hope she's fine. Who else was there? Temperance, of course, my baby, who I, you know, I dream about at night, you know, because she was just like my, that was just like my baby. Temperance, who else we had? There was a girl from Jersey. I can't remember her name. Oh, my God. She was like the realest little thing. She was from Newark. Anansa, I want to say. Don't get me to lying. I can't really think of her name right now, but I got pictures. Then there was, who else was there in House of Saint Laurent? My mind is blank right now, but, you know. But I know we had a few females, too, that were, like, you know, really breathtakingly beautiful as well.
I've heard that the House of Saint Laurent, Kate, has had and has basically been surrounded with a lot of beautiful, beautiful femme queens. Was that what the house was actually based upon, or did y'all
you know what?
Butch
I really,
queens as
you know,
well?
That kind of like pisses me off a little bit because they just totally disregard like the guys that we had in the house, like the Stevie Saint Laurents and the Dennis Saint Laurents and you know the Terry Saint Laurents and the Chamel Saint Laurents. I mean, these were beautiful, beautiful men that we had in the house as well. You know, who used to. Stevie Saint Laurent, I mean, basically invented voguing at that time. You know, not really invented it. Let me take that back. He created a style that was totally different from the generation before him.
Yes, he did. Yes.
You know, I don't know if you ever see Stevie in Ninja Get Up.
Yes.
You know, because Stevie was a dancer. He was a trained dancer. He went to Julia Richmond, him and Octavia. Mm-hmm. When Octavia left Erasmus Hall and she went to another school, that's where they met. And, you know, they were all, like, talented, talented kids. And Stevie danced his ass off, and I was the one who introduced him to voguing, because, like, one day I was playing around with it, you know, doing little whatever, dips, whatever, he's like, what is that? I said, oh, this thing is called voguing, bitch, where you been, blah, 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 and the next thing you know, the bitch ran with it, and just started turning it at the ball. You know, so, and they forget all about that stuff, all they want to, you know, identify the House of Saint Laurent with was, you know, the pretty, pretty girls. Yes, we had a lot of beautiful femme queens, but we also had a lot of guys, too.
Mm-hmm.
That used to hold their own in the ballroom.
I was told that tonight by my gay father, James Ackard, and he said that they were beautiful people. Like, even the Butch Queens was very, very lovely, and the Femme Queens were very, very lovely. You just had a talent for lovely, lovely individuals, because the whole house was based on it. And I know a lot of history about Stevie. And actually, I was calling you him so much because I studied him and been watching because his voguing is phenomenal. And my brother actually vogues just like him. So I love Stevie St. Laurent.
Yeah, that was my baby.
Okay, so with Crystal is the original mother, and is Terry the original father?
No,
brother?
Chris.
Is the original
Chris is
mother.
The witch queen from
is
Florida.
The witch queen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry is the original father, am I correct?
Yes, Terry was the only father we've ever had. Terry, his name is Terrence.
Okay.
He goes by Terrence now. He lives not far from me. We see each other, you know, regularly. He lives in the Harlem area, and we've been best friends for, 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so what I've noticed differently out of everybody that I've interviewed and all the other pioneers and the icons and everything, that you have been one of, and still standing, might I say, living legend, iconic butch queens, that a mother butch queen of all these femme queens. How did that make you feel, and who was your gay mother?
Ooh, well, I had one gay mother, basically the person that kind of like brought me out the closet, I guess you can say. His name was Danny, Danny Owens. He basically introduced me to my very first lover, who's still around to this day. Danny, unfortunately, he's not. He was from Harlem. He was from St. Nicholas Project, and he was someone that I met when I was probably around 17. And introduced me to the dark side, the dark side of the gay life. You know, the things that, you know, your mother doesn't want you to do.
We did all
of that.
Right. Okay.
So, I mean, if you're going to consider someone your mother, I mean, good or bad, you know, Danny Owens, you know, God rest his soul, was the person that I kind of learned, you know, a few good things from, but a lot of bad things from.
How do you feel about all the mother that you were to all the beautiful things you have as far as femme queens in the ballroom scene?
I'm sorry, rephrase that question.
I said, how did it make you feel? And more like, how did you do it? How was you such a phenomenal mother to all of the beauties that you have brought to the ballroom scene?
You know, I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that I was just a nurturing person, you know, by naturally, I was a nurturing person. I think I get that from my mom. You know, I always wanted to take care of people who were probably not able to, like, take care of themselves, I guess you can say. You know, basically, I consider myself a teacher. Still to this day, you know, even at my job, I'm always counseling somebody. I'm teaching them something, you know, stuff that I learned the hard way. You know, I'm like, well, you know, don't do it that way. Do it this way. You know, you'll be better off for it, you know. So I think it started with just me being, you know, a protector and wanting to see, you know, seeing the potential in somebody, like, say, Octavia and the Temperances and the Shermas and all of them, you know, seeing them, you know, okay, well, we're not going to wear this. We're going to wear that. And, you know, your makeup shouldn't be this way. Your makeup should be that way. And then, you know, basically just incorporating that with the natural talent that they already had, it kind of like snowballed. And then, you know, next thing you know, we got all of these, you know, femme queens in the house who are basically just like breathtakingly beautiful. I mean, I didn't make them that way. They kind of like just ended up that way because of the, you know, I guess the influence that I had on them, I guess you can say.
Okay.
That's the only way I can put it. I don't know how else to put
it. And that was a really good way. I got it totally. Okay.
If that makes any kind of sense to you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so Chris was the original mother, and did Octavia come after Chris? And if that is so, was Octavia the mother after Chris, or was there someone before her?
Well, Octavia was never the mother. Octavia was always, like, we considered her, like, the queen of the house.
I never, ever knew that.
No, she was never the mother, because Octavia was never the type of person to want to take on any responsibility as far as other people were concerned. I mean, I don't know the relationship, like, you guys had with her or maybe anybody else had, but the relationship that she and I had, we were more like a brother and sister act than, you know, just kind of like, you know, being that I was a little wiser than she was and a year older. Because mm-hmm. we're only a year apart. We met when we were in 9th and 10th grade in Erasmus Hall. And, you know, back then, she was always the type that, God forgive me, Octavia, for saying this, and I hope you don't, you know, throw those electric bolts while I'm sleeping. She was kind of like in the early days, not towards the end of, you know, not towards the end, but in the beginning, you know, she was a follower. You know, it was like, mm-hmm. okay, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, bitch, we're going to the club. Okay, well, I'm coming with you. Okay, well, we're going to the ball. All right, well, what am I going to wear? Because I don't have anything to wear. What are we doing? You know, that type of person. She was just like, you just put her in the shit and just say, here, girl, go. You know what I'm saying? Sir, get him. You know, that was Octavia's role. In the beginning, and then later on, she became a little bit more independent.
Okay. So have there ever been any other mother other than Chris?
No.
No.
None at all. I mean, there's been a few people that, you know, called themselves the mother of the House of St. Laurent, but that was, you know, basically it was a lie. I mean, I was telling Jasmine, matter of fact, me and Jasmine, I was just telling a friend of mine, actually, Jasmine had a ball, a little mini function. I don't know if she remembers this. Not too long. This was like maybe back in like, I want to say 95, because I know I was working in Bloomingdale's at the time. So it had to be about 94, 95, maybe 96. And there was a mini function somewhere in like maybe 30-something street, some little club they had over there. And this queen, Miss Kansai John from back in the days, her and one of her girlfriends started calling themselves the mother and the father of the House of St. Laurent. So when I got wind of that, I basically, you know, got my little crew together. You know, we wasn't going to fight or anything. We were just going to go make it known that, you know, this is my legacy. How dare you, you know, how dare you take over something that I built all these years, you know? And I remember there was a gang of Ebonies there, Miss Richard when she was still alive and Miss Lonnie and all these other girls. And they were more upset than I was about, you know, Miss Kansai John calling herself the mother. So we just basically went and dispelled that whole rumor, and that's how that went.
Oh, so that's, oh wow. That's very...
Jasmine
that's
remembers
really,
that. She'll tell you all about it.
It was at the clubhouse.
Yes, the clubhouse. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
That's where it was.
Well, I want to I want to allow some other callers to get in because I have a lot of questions. I want to give people the outside a chance to get to know you just as well. So if you're on the phone lines and you are listening to me tonight, this is the Sister to Sister for Real show, and I am interviewing the pioneer icon founder of the House of St. Laurent, Robbie St. Laurent, who is a wonderful person. I'm really loving his interview. You remind me so much of my mother, Joseph. I'm loving it.
Which Joseph? It's
Joseph Princess Christian.
Oh, Miss Joseph. Yeah.
Yes. Are you
another one of my daughters.
So jolly. So fun. So if you're on the phone lines and you want to join this conversation, would you like to pay homage or remind Robbie about an event or something that you also took part in, feel free to press 1 and I'll bring you guys up here so that you can do so. So we're going to take a little one commercial break, and Robbie, you stay right there, and we'll come back and we'll take some callers. Commercial, which one?
Ballroom Throwback presents Wanted 2012, the first annual YouTube Awards Ball, March 3rd, 2012. Time, 7 p.m. until 3 a.m. Where? 841 Barreto Street, The Bronx, New York, 10451. Categories include Seven Queen Face, Smooth Criminal, Dressing Killer Black with a Smoking Red Lip, $500 cash. Twister vs. Sister, $250 cash. Add $20 to the pot, one trophy. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Legendary Performance, $500. Add $20 to the pot, Witch Queens vs. Sun Queens, one trophy. Theme Battle, Grand Prize, $1,500 and one trophy. Grand Prize, $2,012 to the house with the most trophies. Ballroom Throwback presents Wanted 2012, the first annual YouTube Awards Ball.
Oh.
Okay, we are back live on the air. If anybody that's out there that just are joining us, I am interviewing tonight Royalty Pioneers. On my phone line, we have the pioneer icon, Robbie St. Laurent, founder of the House of St. Laurent. So my first caller would be, like always, the pioneer icon himself, R.R. Chanel. R.R., you on the phone line?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, R.R.
How you doing, baby? I had to get them to get to you yesterday because someone came on the show and was talking about she was going to reopen the House of St. Laurent.
Yeah,
so I had to dig into her and say, did you clear that with Robbie St. Laurent? Because at the end of the day, the House of St. Laurent is still open. Although they may not have any chapters, their legacy still lives. And if you haven't cleared it with him and he's not walking you down the runway, then, sweetie, you're just blowing smoke up my ass.
Yeah, I love you for that one. I love you for that one. Thank you so much.
Because at the end of the day, you know, we are from a generation of competitiveness on the ballroom floor, but outside the ballroom, we were all still friends.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's what
absolutely.
This generation of, you know, new ballroom kids are really missing, you know. And you always had the beauties. And I'm fortunate enough to say that the House of Chanel has followed in the footsteps of the House of Princess as far as creating and bringing out the beauties. Even though they may not have stayed and they all went their separate ways, they came to us as rocks and we turned them into diamonds and then the diamonds got sold. But at the end of the day, we know how that goes. Because a lot of girls will come to your house and they'll be busted and disgusted, and as soon as you give them their glory, they forget who made them. But it's okay. And you've made many of girls.
Yeah, well, you know, back in the Harlem days on 117th Street, my house was known as the Flop House, you know. Come on through, girl. You hungry? Okay, I'm going to feed you. You need something to wear? Here, put this on.
That's right.
You need a shot? Right. Yeah, here. Where's your moans at? Okay, bend over. You know, all of that stuff. Did it all.
Well, we did have fun back then, and it's just good to hear your voice and hear that everything is going well with you, and you still sound very vibrant and lively. I haven't seen you since the Icon luncheon at Marriott.
Didn't I see you at, I saw you, I want to say,
was it at
Paris?
Right,
Alvernian Prestige or somebody had? That was last summer.
Okay, it was in New York.
Yeah, at the ball in Harlem.
Right.
That was his ball where I learned it.
40th Street, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the last ball I attended, actually.
Yeah. Well, I think that maybe you might want to just pop out every now and then, you know, like the old pop-up dolls. You know,
oh, yeah.
Just pop out every now and then because the girls are trying to steal names now because they're uncreative and they don't want to create their own legacies, you know. And you and I are one of the elite clubs where we started our house and it was the only house that we've ever known.
Yeah,
so
actually,
we're part of
really.
A elite crew, you and I. You understand? So
right.
It's good hearing your voice, and may you continue to be blessed and continue to move forward in all of your endeavors. And I look forward to hearing more of your story this evening.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling in. Love you.
Thank you, R.R. Thank you. Do we have any more callers on the phone line? Let's see. You're live on the Sister to Sister For Real show with the pioneer icon, Robbie St. Laurent.
Hello?
Hello?
Yep.
Hello?
I just want to ask Robbie St. Laurent, is Shannon, so Shannon is not a St. Laurent?
I don't know who Shannon is, sweetie. I've never met the person.
Okay, because she still has on her Facebook page that she is a St. Laurent. And she's the mother.
Well, I mean, I'm hearing that, too, for the first time just yesterday, actually. And, again, I don't know who she is. I'm sure she's probably a very sweet and lovely person. But the truth is, if I don't know you, how is that, you know, how does it come to be that you're just, you know, automatically the mother of my house?
Right, so she didn't have any permission to open up the house or whatever. So I just want to say that because this is Cincinnati, Miss Rahi, and I'm from Ohio, and I was
just...
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Do we have any
phone
lines?
What happened to that person?
They're gone. They're gone.
Oh. Okay. It's not like they were speaking in a fake voice, right?
Oh, yes, and, you know, we have that a lot. So, you know, to stand clear of the closing doors, you know, there will be those type of things that, you know, and they will be removed immediately because that's not the format of this show.
Well, hey, you run your show the way you run your show.
I do not. So they'll be removed. My next caller is the legendary, my last interview that we just went through, Mariah Revlon. Mariah, you're on the phone line. Mariah? Well, she must have still didn't press one switchboard. Do we have any callers after her? Baby, let's see. 205-862, you're live on the Sister to Sister For Real show with the pioneer icon, Robbie St. Laurent.
Hello?
Yes.
Nicole.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Hi, Danielle. How are you? Welcome to the show. This is the legendary Danielle icon. How are you?
I'm just listening. I don't know what to say to such an icon as Robbie. You know, I'm speechless. You know,
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
I'm fine. I really don't know what to say. I'm speechless. Like, you are such an icon.
Well,
in the
why be speechless? Like, just whatever's on your mind, sweetie. Speak your mind. It's fine. It's okay. I don't bite.
I just want to say, all I can say is just thank you for all that you've done. Like, I'm sure, like, you know, like, this era has changed so much from the era that you were in, you know, and I just wish things can go back to the way they used to be, you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, that's the thing, you know, things that, you know, progress is what it is, and, you know, things change for a reason. Because, like, when I was, you know, young and just starting out and, you know, we're talking the early 80s, you know, 82 to be exact, you know, we, you know, my generation, the ones that were my age, you know, like the Michael Duprees and the Michael Princesses and, you know, all the people that were around my age, Octavia as well, we were, like, changing the format, you know, and, you know, that was when I came on the scene, you know, that's when you were, you know, you had the girls like say the House of Ebony, you know, without, you know, I don't want to, you know, say anything too much, you know, about, you know, what they were doing, but they were the first people to come through the doors wearing $10,000 outfits, you know, whereas the generation before them were wearing stuff that was basically handmade or they had a seamstress. So, you know, things were changing even back then, you know. And the way the format is now, I mean, I haven't been to a ball in, you know, over a year.
Yeah,
and
because
what
I think
the last, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think the balls, like, the era that I came up in, like, the balls were more about creativity, you know, and stuff like that, and what you can create. And imagination, it was more of that. Now it's about what you can craft.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was like that when I was coming up, too. But you still had people who were very creative with it, you know, the ones who didn't necessarily steal or the ones who didn't necessarily craft or the ones who, you know, didn't necessarily break a window to get what they needed for a ball. But, you know, but again, you know, that was like the changing of the guard, you know, from the era that I came up with. You know, they were changing things and, you know, and like anything else, it was progress. You know, that's the way it was. And, you know, no one really questioned it. They just rolled with it, you know. But getting back to what you were saying about, you know, the way things are now and the way things were then, I mean, we're talking, you know, 30 years ago. So, you know, things have changed drastically, you know, since those days.
And
we didn't have cell phones
and
internet back in those days.
Yeah, go ahead, Danielle.
Go ahead.
Can we please stop talking about Shannon? Thank you. Because y'all put someone's life in a situation, and that's what she wants y'all to do. So can we please stop talking about Shannon?
I agree. I don't like talking about people I don't know anyway.
Thank you, Danielle.
Love you for that, Danielle. Thank you so much. That was sweet. Thank you.
Okay, my next caller is 443-743. You're live on the Sister to Sister For Real show with the pioneer icon, Robbie St. Laurent.
What's up, Nicole? This is Antonio again.
Hi, Antonio. Welcome back.
What's up, baby? Thank you so much. You know, I just say come online and say something to Robbie. I'm not sure if Robbie remember me or not, but I'm going to
Antonio, which
history.
Antonio is this?
This is Antonio Aphrodite.
Antonio Aphrodite. Mm.
And listen, I'm going to take you way back. And this is why I had to get online and pay you homage and let you know how much I love you. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're so welcome. I'm going to take you back to late 1996. I was dating a film queen at the time named Tyra Lore. You know who Tyra Lore is, right?
I know who Tyra is, yes.
Okay. So I came up to New York and we were dating, and she took me to my first New York ball, which was the House Infinity Ball. And my father, Ira Aphrodite, he was there, and he was like, brother, do this show have face? And you looked at me, and you said, he does have face, but there's only one thing I'm not living for. He needs to take off those eyebrows, because they just do my eyebrows in. And you took a napkin, and you wiped my eyebrows off, and you said, now he has face. And I went out there and walked, and
no,
I won.
No, you're making that up, Antonio. I did no such thing.
And you won?
And I won. That was my first time winning in New York City. And he wiped my eyebrows off and said, now he has face. And I went out there, and I won. That was my first New York win ever. And Robbie, I'm going to let you know this. You probably don't remember this. This was so long ago. But I speak your name also, and I love you for everything that you stand for and everything you accomplish, and I love you.
Thank you so much. I love you too, baby. You know you got to hit me up on Facebook because I can't remember what you look like.
Right. I know, but you know what? I'm going to definitely send you a friend request. I'm going to look you up. And what's your name on Facebook?
Robert Marcomani, Marcomani, my government name.
All right, baby. As soon as I get on the phone, I'm going to look you up. As soon as you see me, you'll be like, oh, the napkin. You're definitely going to remember the napkin. You can never forget
that. You go into the, I think if you go into the Ball Institute room or club, whatever it's called, you can just, like, find me there, right?
That's what I'm talking about. You know, I'm on that, so I'm going to definitely do that.
Yeah, so you can
get
me on that one. And just, you know, send me a request, and I will more than happy to
accept
you.
That's what's up, baby. But, you know, at the same time, take care of yourself. I love you, and you have a good one, okay?
Thank you so much for calling. I love you, too.
Love you,
thank you, Antonio. Do we have any more phone callers on the phone line? That was really sweet. That was really nice of you.
Wow. That, I mean, I don't even remember that. That's how long ago.
Okay. We have a private caller on this phone line. Private caller, welcome to the Sister For Real show with the pioneer, Robbie St. Laurent. Private caller?
Hello.
Yes, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hey, I just wanted to...
Get rid of that caller and do not accept any more private callers. This is not a game, and I do not appreciate you laughing and you calling into this phone line. I don't care who it is. It's going to very upset my nerve. This is royalty I have on this platform. We're going to show respect, and we're going to pay homage. You keep that foolishness for Monday and Tuesday.
What happened? I didn't even hear what she said.
And nothing. She couldn't say anything because her voice cracked just like her face. So
okay.
She started laughing and stuff. I don't know. Okay.
Maybe she was nervous.
That's the story they're telling. Mariah, are you there? Mariah? No, maybe Mariah has went to sleep. She said she was going to listen, but she probably went to sleep, switchboard. Okay, I'm going to move a little bit, continue more, and because this interview is, I'm writing while I'm speaking, so I have more things to definitely be talking about. Okay, so we went back to, you know, your coming out and, you know, your childhood and how you came out and the beauties that you have brought to the ballroom and what your house was based upon and everything. Ballroom back then was always very, very different. And I know up until recently, I don't know what was the recent ball, but I guess Paris was what you was at. What would you say that is so different about ballroom today that it was back then? And what is it missing?
Very good question. I really can't tell you exactly what it's missing because, again, because I don't really go. I haven't been to, you know, a ball since, like, last summer. And the reason I went to that ball, because, you know, Paris Dupree was associated with it. You know, because Paris, you know, that Paris Dupree, I mean, that was like our mother when we was coming up. You know what I mean? And all I hear about now is, like, sex siren and a bunch of voguing categories. That's all I hear about. I don't ever hear about, like, you know, the femme queens or the girls walking, like, say, you know, evening wear or nostalgia or, you know, what we used to have back in the days called shopping on Fifth Avenue, like you were actually going shopping, or, you know, those really creative categories where you had to really put an outfit together and make it believable. I don't hear about such categories anymore. So
would you say, is it safe to say that it's missing a lot of the creativity?
Yes, absolutely. I would have to say that. I mean, again, I don't really know for sure because I haven't been. I just know by what I'm just going by what I hear, you know, from like the young set now, you know, and, you know, the guys telling me, oh, well, you know, twist this and combobble that. And I'm like, what the hell is that? I mean, twist. I mean, that when I was coming up, you if you had on a $3,000 outfit, you still had to clean up the floor and
right.
bowl for, you know, to win, you know, back then. So, you
right.
know, it's totally different now.
So, okay. What was, if you're on the phone lines and you definitely want to join in this conversation or you would like to pay homage, at any time you can feel free to press 1. I don't want to have anybody wait, and it is pretty late. So if you have anything you'd like to say, anytime, just press 1. So do you have any favorites in ballroom back then? Like, who would be your favorites back in the 80s or the 90s? Like, who
wait,
did you?
Butch Queen or Drag Queen?
Okay,
anybody?
What about... I'm going to say anybody, but I would like to ask you about, well, the Femme Queens are your favorite. We know you brought them there, so I'll just say anybody, yeah.
Well, I mean, I had a few favorites back then, because, you know, back in those days, you know, it wasn't really all about, you know, like with the girls getting all this surgery, and, you know, they were more natural looking back then, you know. I mean, back then, you know, they had a couple of hormone shots or, you know, and they took really good care of their skin or maybe got some implants, and that was pretty much it. But I would have to say, like, for the Butch Queens, or the guys, I should say, my favorite was always Michael Dupree and Michael Princess. I used to just love to see those two go at it because they should just, I mean, they would, like, literally not fight, but it looked like a fight the way they would perform, you know?
Right, okay.
Those two were always my favorites. There was another person who's no longer with us. His name was Bobby LeWong. He was in the House of Wong. Vogued his little ass off. I mean, he was just like looking at magic whenever you would watch him. He was great. Who else? And all, out of the girls, I had like so many, and they weren't always, I'm not talking about girls in my house. I'm talking about girls that I knew before there was even such thing as the House of Saint Laurent, you know, back when Ms. Octavia was running around in Brooklyn, you know, trying to get money together to go to the club. There was Nisa Dupree. She was just, like, breathtakingly beautiful. Spanish girl from Jersey. She was one of my idols. There was Crystal LaBeija. There was Portia, who's still around and looking drop-dead gorgeous. Miss Portia. There was little Tiny, little Spanish girl named Tiny. There was Janice from Jersey. I mean, it was just, like, a host of girls that were around back in those days that were just, like, breathtakingly beautiful, and they were natural. You know, they didn't have all that stuff that these girls have now. You know, it was just totally different. You know, you would stop. They gradually, you know, started doing little nips and tucks. They didn't do everything all at once. You know what
I mean?
It
was a process.
It was a process, yes. And you would, like, you know, these are the kind of girls that you could bring home to your family, and, you know, your family would be none the wiser because that's just how natural and beautiful they were.
That's very interesting. That's how ballroom were back then. It's not processing now. Everybody is so quick. It's called microwave. Everything.
And that's so disturbing.
But that's disturbing, and that's in the sense that it's so quick with time. But technology and everything, period, is so quick with time. You don't have to cook broccoli with cheese anymore. You can put it in the oven, in the microwave, and it cook for yourself. And you don't have to cook some chicken McNuggets and none of these things. You can just put it in the microwave, and there you go. You just can eat it. So everything as far as food and technology and everything is like that. And I think that's why we have a lot of problems with the Femme Queens today, because they don't do what you speak of as the process. They just rush instantly into everything, put in all the silicone and stuff.
1 minute they're a Butch Queen, and then the next minute you see them, they're like, you know, they look like, I don't know what they look like, but it's just really disturbing to me to see how the process has changed.
Okay, so we have a lot of people who have came on the phone line, and, you know, I don't, because of that conversation of that individual, It brought me to ask this question to you. How would you feel if someone wanted to use the name Saint Laurent today in ballroom? And what would be some of the criteria that they would have to have?
Well, I mean, the only criteria basically for me would be if they See, that's a really good question because the criteria for me has changed some since the olden days. The olden days. Well, first I would have to say they would have to be in school. That's first and foremost. You can't very well, you know, accomplish anything in life if you do not have some kind of education behind you or some kind of direction in life. I would prefer, if they're not going to school full-time, to be working and maybe going to school part-time. And to always just keep in mind that the ballroom scene and that life, it doesn't last forever. And if you think that this is going to be your life until you're, like, say, well in your 30s or 40s or 50s, you know, turn it into a career. If you're going to do that, make sure you're getting some money out of it. Don't do it because you're trying to keep up with the Joneses. Because I think that's what kept me sane, and it kept me out of jail all of these years, not taking it so seriously.
That's what Joseph told me yesterday.
You know, not taking it so seriously because, I mean, I've seen girls who, you know, people, you know, it became their life, and either they're dead, they've been in jail for the last 20 years, or they're just some drugged-out bum on the street, you know, saying, oh, bitch, remember when I worked, blah, 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 and I had on the Kansas sweater, and I had on Valentino. Yeah, girl, that was back in 1986. We're 2012 now. What are you doing? Why do you look like that? You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And so I would have to say to anybody who's aspiring to be in anybody's house, stay in school, do it while you're young, and use the balls as a tool. You know, to, you know, just basically an extracurricular kind of thing. You know, and if you're going to do it right and stay out of trouble while you're doing it.
Message for everybody that's on the phone line. That is truly and indeedly a message. So would you allow someone to come along and to be an acting mother today in ballroom in the house, to the House of Saint Laurent?
I really don't think so, to be honest with you, because to me, the House of Saint Laurent is what it was, you know, and it's a legacy that I would prefer to, like, leave what it is, you know, leave it as such, a legacy. You know, we were kids when we started doing that. We were 18, 19, 17-year-old, you know, when we started doing that stuff. And, you know, I basically left the balls alone in my late 20s. You know, like 28, I think that was probably 1990 was really the last ball I've ever walked. And how long ago was that? You know, I mean, I participated. You know, I've been to some luncheons. I've judged quite a few of them, you know, because even back then, the only way they can get me to a ball was to let me judge. And then I got kind of sick of that. So then that kind of dried up. And then, you know, we're losing Miss Octavia and losing Temperance and losing the people that, you know, were really close to me and the Stevies and the Dennises and all of them. You know, it was kind of like, okay, you know, let's leave that kind of life behind. I'm just glad and I'm really happy that there's like a sudden, thanks to this Shannon person, I know we weren't supposed to talk about her, but thanks to this Shannon person, she's kind of breathed, you know, a little bit of interest in the House of Saint Laurent, you know, and I want to thank her for that.
God has a way of working things out.
Yeah, you know,
even
when
they're used,
you know,
for different reasons.
You know, and then, you know, we have that book that Chantel has out now, you know, and there's, like, you know, some iconic pictures and stuff. And I think that's probably breathed a little, you know, interest into, you know, the old balls and stuff. I mean, the old houses and everything. But, no, as far as someone, like, you know, reinventing the House of Saint Laurent, I don't think that's going to happen.
That was, you know, it's funny that when the whole thing came out with that person interviewing that, because me and my dear friend Katrina, we play like that all the time. We love the house so much. So my sister would always tell me, you know, I'm in my house and she feels that somebody's trying, and she said, well, fuck those girls. We could just go and Saint Laurent. This Saint Laurent, of course, we could just have all these film queens. So to actually hear that come when that person did that, that was kind of a shock to me and her, because that was a personal kiki that I only told a few people, and it was like a dream. Like, what house would we go to and we would open if I went to open house? And she said Saint Laurent, of course. And we just kiki about it, and we got on the phone with some girls. And so we have been always privately paying homage and living for that house. So when it went public like that from someone way over there left that don't mix in my cake mix, I kind of gagged at that. And so it's always been thought about and always been said, it is a fabulous house, and it is to be honored with the utmost respect. And to hear you talk about it and how you blueprinted it, it makes it just even more significant. How did you feel about when you was honored at the luncheon that you had listened to?
Fabulous. I mean, it was like, you know, like a high school reunion, because, you know, I had seen people, you know, people that I had known since I was like a kid, like, you know, Michael Princess and Michael Dupree and, you know, Kenny Chanel and Terry Chanel and all of these people that I, you know, pretty much grew up with. And, you know, seeing them all in one spot like that and being honored, I mean, I thought that was just, you know, just fabulous. I mean, you know, it was just great. Because, you know, how often do we, you know, salute our own like that, you know?
Right.
And I had a really great time.
Right. That's one of my goals. One of my something I look forward to being able to do again in a really, really spectacular way. So I look forward to doing that myself, to pay homage to all the pioneer icons and the legends that are out there today. Definitely the pioneers and the icons. I look forward to actually being able to being in a position to do that one day. We have a few callers. Okay, well, send them on over.
You are on the hair.
Yeah. 908-374. You are live on the Sister to Sister For Real show with the pioneer icon, Robbie St. Laurent.
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, good evening. Good evening, Robbie. Good evening, Nicole. I'm calling back in because I'm going to say once again, thank you for paving the way for the beautiful people in the ballroom scene.
Who is this again?
This is Shalimar.
Hi, Shalimar. How are you?
I'm good.
And so I was a caller earlier that's a new person that's in the ballroom scene and that has been listening to the show.
Okay.
And go ahead, caller. What else would you like to say to Robbie?
Yes. I'm going to say once again, thank you for paving the way. And also, I want to ask you a question. What is your most memorable ballroom moment since you came out? Like, off the top of your head right now.
I would have to say it was later on when Temperance did the tribute to Josephine Baker at Paris Dupree's at Sally's Hideaway on 43rd Street in Midtown.
Yeah, Terrence Levin was talking about that in the Ballroom Institute, which is a great group for all you young kids to get your history, by the way. Yeah, he was talking about the Sally's Hideaway and how it was the iconic space for all the femme queens to go and stuff like that.
Work. That really
was
true.
I wish they had that on YouTube, but they don't. You know, they got pictures of her, but they don't have that on YouTube because, you know, that was before, you know, the internet and all that stuff. So
that was way before my time. I wasn't even thought of yet.
Yeah, it was like 1990, as a matter of fact. 91, I think it was, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she did Josephine Baker, and it was great because it was weird because the House Extravaganza, the Spanish girls sent her through, you know, because they knew they couldn't very well do, you know, Josephine Baker. So they was like, okay, let's pick Temperance, and they just made her like these fabulous costumes, and I mean, she just looked absolutely drop dead gorgeous. I mean, it was like looking at Josephine Baker. It was fab. It was great.
I wonder if that's somewhere around in the iCards, or if there's a tape, or even a VH1, a VHS tape that consists of that. I mean, I would love to see that again.
I would love to see that myself.
Yeah, I would love to see it. But thank you, caller. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate for listening. We're going to put you back on the queue. My next caller is 614-516. Welcome to the Sister For Real show with the pioneer icon, Robbie St. Laurent.
Hello, you guys. My name is Richard Evisu, and I got a question for Mr. St. Laurent.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
Fine. I want to know, what years did the House of St. Laurent reign? You know what I mean? What years were your best years as a house as a whole?
Oh, wow. Good question. I would have to say from 80, when we were, like, really, really popular, kind of.
Yes.
I would have to say from 84 to 90. We had, like, a six-year run where we were, like, really, like, you know, doing our thing.
All right, that's all I want to know. Thanks, and you guys have a great night.
And thank
you, too.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Is there any more callers on the phone line that would like to join the conversation? Press 1. Feel free to come online. 617-955. Welcome to the Sister to Sister For Real show with the pioneer icon, Robbie St. Laurent.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Welcome to the show.
No, Bobby, I just wanted to say that this shit is real late, and y'all need to go
this
on
This is Carla. See, I told you, those are the closing doors. Stand clear of the closing doors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I don't get off till midnight, so this is okay for me.
I'm sorry. I hope you enjoy yourself. Okay, my next call is 201-892. You're live on the Sister to Sister For Real show with the pioneer icon, Robbie St. Laurent.
Hey, Robbie, it's Tommy LaVasia. How you doing?
Hey, Tommy. What's
Hi,
up, baby.
Tommy.
How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, God, thank you for coming to the show. Welcome to the show. For all you listeners, this is Tommy LaVasia, one of the founders of the House of LaVasia. Thank you. It's good to see you on the show for the first time.
Hey, Tommy, what's good?
I had to call in and give Robbie some love. I waited all night to hear this.
Oh, wow. Were you listening all that time?
I sure was.
Okay. You know, it's weird because since I've been on the phone with you guys, Nicole, right?
Yes.
Well, since I've been on the phone with Nicole, I'm getting all of these friend requests on Facebook. I feel like the most popular girl in school right now. And I haven't felt popular in a number of years.
Okay.
Well, get your life, boo.
I'm trying.
I just came in to give you some love, baby, and let you know that brother's listening, all right?
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Love you, too.
And thank you, Tommy, for coming on the air, and I look forward to interviewing you very shortly, too.
I know. It's me.
But thank you so much. We're going to put you back in the queue.
All righty.
Okay.
All right, have a good night. Good morning, brother.
Thank you. Okay, we have no more callers right now, so we're going to move more into more of a severe part of my segment. But if you are on the phone lines and you feel the need to pay homage and to give some type of respect to Robbie, feel free at any time to press 1.
Don't say pay homage. Say hello.
Okay. Say hello.
Just come
Robbie.
And say, just show the old bitch some love. That's all.
And no, I'm not. I don't know, Robbie. I don't know. It's up to you. I really have a low tolerance for messy stuff when I'm trying to do such a positive thing. But they are
private
callers, and if it's they're gone. Good. But if it is all right, would you mind if you take those private callers? They can be very stand clear of the closing doors at times.
I mean, it doesn't bother me because people that don't know me can't hurt me. So
Amen.
I don't really worry about such things.
Yeah, but it's a waste of my time when I'm doing a show and they want to
keep. It's just up to you.
I'm going to take this private caller. I'm going to try this again.
It's totally up to you.
Private caller, you are live on the Sister to Sister For Real show with the pioneer icon, Robbie St. Laurent.
Hello.
Private caller?
Hello?
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, I called and I sneezed earlier, and you hung up on me, Nicole, you watermelon head bitch.
Oh, that's not nice.
It's a mess.
That's not nice.
It's just a mess.
Oh, gosh. Why would I say such a thing?
Yeah. Well, moving on. My next caller is 415-574. You're live on the Sister to Sister For Real show with the pioneer icon, Robbie St. Laurent.
Hey, Nicole. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Robbie. How are you?
I'm fine. Who is this?
I'm someone new to the ballroom scene. I've been in the ballroom scene now for like 2 years, but I don't really walk balls all like that. But my name is Smoke Ebony, and
hey.
I just wanted to call all the way from the West Coast and pay homage to you and thank Nicole
Welcome.
For
thank
joining
you.
Us for the ballroom scene.
Thank you.
For the young people and for people in my generation. Like, I'm only 21 years old, but I think this
oh,
is
God
something
bless you.
That this generation needs. And this is why we as young African-Americans in general, we don't know where we're going or what we're trying to do or how to show respect because we don't know our history. And this
right.
is a great history lesson to hear you and hear what the House of Saint-Laurent did and what they've done for us to pave the way, not only just in the ballroom scene, but just as gay people and people
right.
of color and the movement that you guys have started for us. And we, instead of calling in and saying rude things to Nicole, we should be paying homage to Nicole for doing this
yes,
for us.
We should.
Because not too many people in the ballroom scene are trying to do this for us. So I'd like to
That's
thank
right.
you for giving us the stories and the history so that we can move forward and make our ballroom scene even better than what it is today.
Yeah, I agree. Because you know that old adage, you can't know, you don't know where you're going until you know where you've been, right?
Yeah, but you know
right.
what? I'm going to say to all of that, there is a bunch of low-class acts that is scared of my arrival, and no weapon form shall prosper. So you can call in and you can do whatever you like. You're a bunch of low-class acts that are afraid of my arrival. So moving
yeah.
right along.
That's
Thank
right.
Thank you,
Just
caller.
Keep
Thank
keep
you
moving.
For calling in.
Thank you so
I
much
greatly
for
appreciate
calling.
It.
Thank you for that.
Okay, we're going to take a little moment. We're going to pay some bills. Definitely, we have to play our commercials. That's how we have this show keep going. So, Rob, we're going to take a little brief second, and you stay right there. You call us
I'm
on the
moving.
Phone line. If you want to join this conversation, feel free to press 1. Robbie's very friendly and very rejuvenated and vibe, and I love it. So definitely stay on the line and press 1 if you'd like to come back in. Hold that pulse.
The Queen of Hearts Birthday Ball Part 2. February 18, 2012, Youngstown State University, Beagley Center, Youngstown, Ohio. Commentators for the evening, legendary Kevin Jay-Z Prodigy and Lesway Derion, $25 all night. Doors open at 10, legendary stars at 12:30. Guest list closes at midnight. Cash category, grand prize, open to all Vogue performers, $750. Bring a gift or a $10 pot. Open to all runway, $250. Stem Queen Realness, $150. Butch Cream and Drag Realness, The Transformation, $100. Open to all Thug Realness, 4 trophies, 1 cash award, $100. Open to all Sex Siren, 4 trophies, 1 cash award, $100. Virgin Vogue, $50. The Queen of Hearts Birthday Ball Part 2, February 18th, 2012. See you there.
Girl.
Annual Carolina Awards Ball, Saturday, May 5th, 2012. Doors open at 5 p.m. Admission $30 all night. Location, Symphony Ballroom at the Blake Hotel, Uptown, Charlotte, North Carolina. Commentators, icon Jack Mizrahi and icon Jay Manilo Blahnik. DJ, legendary Vonalore. Grand prize, $1,500. Butch Queen, realist with a twist. Mini grand prize, $500. Butch Queen Vogue stamp. Mini grand prize, $500. Butch Queen European runway. Categories include male figure versus female figure. 2 trophies. 1 cash prize of $250. Butch Queen face. 1 trophy. 1 cash prize of $250. Open to all foot and eye. Male figure versus female figure. 2 trophies. 1 cash prize of $250. Open to all team frequent. 1 trophy. 1 cash award of $300. And 13 other $100 categories. The 4th Annual Carolina Awards Ball. Saturday, May 5th, 2012. Charlotte, North Carolina. See you there.
Yes, it is. Welcome back. We are live on the Sister to Sister For Real show, and tonight we have our royalty guest, my royalty guest, the pioneer icon, Robbie St. Laurent, and he's on the phone lines with us today, giving us such a lovely history lesson. So if you're on the phone line and you guys would like to join the conversation and you have a question or you'd like to say hello, definitely feel free to press 1 and we'll bring you on the phone line. Antonio, you're back.
Hello.
Hey, Antonio. Robbie, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Nicole, I'm sorry, Nicole. I'm doing for your show tonight. You know I've been over 3 times. But I was just thinking about something before I was about to go to bed. There's one question I want to ask Robbie. One question.
Go ahead.
Okay, Robbie, can you please tell me and all the listeners that are listening, who is Renee St. Laurent?
Renee St. Laurent?
Yes.
She's one of our members. She's been a member, about a good 20 years now.
Oh, wow.
She was good friends with Octavia. They started out as friends, and Octavia basically, you know, inducted her into the house, and they walked face as a sister act, I remember one time. I wasn't there, but I seen the pictures. One ball that I missed, and they walked together, and they won, like, one wore black, the other one wore red, and they kind of, like, looked like twins almost in the pictures.
Yeah, really, yeah, really, like, I remember that.
That was Octavia's daughter, really.
Oh, okay, because, like, you know, I see her, and then while we're interested, and she got a Judy mouth. That bitch mouth is fierce.
She got it honestly.
But I didn't want to call in because, you know, I'm a part of a moment interview, too, so it was a lot of people just, like, come up behind, like, and, like, you know, with the new queen, they don't understand, like, how, like, if you have history in the scene, you can have a Judy mouth. And a lot of girls don't understand, like, you know, what a Judy mouth means.
I mean, you know, I mean, even back when I was coming up, you know, you had that one queen who, you know, you know, just read you your immoral rights, and, you know, that's just the way some people are. What can you do?
Right, and that's what's up. I just wanted to call back, you know, just to rectify that. So all the girls in the barber and CC don't know who Renee is. Robbie rectified her. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Antonio. Thank you for coming on the phone line. We have R.R. Pioneer. R.R., you back again?
Yeah, why'd you take me out of the queue? I was trying to ask questions, and I wasn't even in the queue. I mean, I wasn't on. I was like, what's going on here?
You guys must have a lot of listeners because I have never had this many friend requests in one night in my life on Facebook. Where are these people coming from? Are they all listening to the show?
Yes.
I have a couple of questions that came to mind. One is the gentleman asked you about one of your most memorable moments with your girls. What is one of your most memorable moments of you walking and competing against someone?
That was my question. You stole it.
I would have to say my most memorable one was when Temperance and I won, what was that, Evening Wear? The last ball I ever walked at Pepper's. You know, I don't know if you've seen the black and white shot in my photos on Facebook.
I haven't even been on Facebook. Now that I know you're there, I'm going to go on and.
Yeah, just, you know, there's a shot of Temperance and I. She has on the Bob Mackie gown, and I have on the Gaultier tuxedo. And we won the $1,000. You know, back then, that $1,000 at a ball, that was like a lot of money. And, you know, and that was my most memorable because I hadn't walked the ball in, like, so long before that. And I remember when, because right after we walked and I walked up the stage and I had to go to the bathroom because I was holding it for so long. You know, you're nervous and everything. And I remember Pepper saying, Miss Robbie, you haven't won in a long time, bitch. And then we went upstairs and we won the grand prize. That was my most memorable because I did it as one of my children. You know what I mean?
Now, maybe you can clear something up just for history. And it's not coming from a shady place. It's just coming from clarification because I don't want anyone to think that, you know, I say things just to be saying it. But it's just not me. I just need clarification from someone who was there because we have an individual that seems to
think that they were the face of all faces of all faces, and they have all these great face trophies. And I can't ever remember them competing against the real face girls. And if I'm mistaken, can you please correct me and tell me how many times do you really remember Kevin Omni winning for face?
Oh, God. R.R., why did I know you was going to ask me that question?
But you can plead the fifth if you choose.
Okay. Honestly?
Honestly,
I can't ever remember witnessing it because, you know, I was never one to go to every single ball there was, even when I was, you know, really heavily involved. So that question I can't really be very specific about because I can only tell you what I've never witnessed.
Let me recap it for you then and put it in another way.
Okay.
In our era, the hottest Butch Queen faces were, if I'm not mistaken, was Erskine Christian, Michael Dupree, Michael Princess, Harold Chanel, and if I'm missing any names, please add them.
Little Derek Princess.
Right.
Who else was there?
David Ultima.
David Ultima. One of my favorites who really wasn't a ball queen, well, a ball person back then, but I thought he was breathtakingly beautiful. Remember Little Shantae?
Yeah.
Little Shantae Dupree.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorites.
Exactly.
But I was telling Nicole, my favorites, my two personal favorites were always Michael Dupree and Michael Princess.
Right. And when you came to a function, you would normally see those two or Erskine Christian, or there was another young man, I can't remember his name. He's still around, too. He was fair-skinned. He used to be with Tennille all the time. Oh, and let's not forget Linwood, too. Linwood used to walk.
Oh,
coach,
yeah.
Right?
Linwood, he was. I thought he was.
So
really
I'm not saying it from a shady place, but it's just like you have all these trophies, and I can't remember you being up there with Stewart, too, and Stewart. You know, I just. I don't
know. You're trying
it.
To get me in trouble.
No, we're going to leave it at that because, Nicole, you got the info, right? You got it, girl, right? You got it. And
I plead the fifth on those.
It's all good. It's all good. And the other question was, she asked you, you know, about, you know, revamping the house and stuff. And I like the way you said a lot, because I think I said that to her and Jasmine. I said, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Robbie would probably like his legacy to stay as it is because that's how it would end for him, because you had a great run. It was a great house, and it's still alive, but the legacy needs to just continue in the Hall of Fame. And I think that was a very, very good answer.
Thank you.
Also, as far as you talked about education and everything, were you able to go back to college and get your degree and everything?
Oh, absolutely. I have my bachelor's in social work and human services. And that's what I'm doing now. I've been working as a mental health clinician for the last 4 years now.
That's wonderful. See,
yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that the kids need to hear, you know, because like a lot of people, when I told them, you know, I graduated from FIT, I got an associate's degree, and, you know, I started my business and, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, everybody just seems to have this memory of me when I was down and out, you understand? But like someone said to Mariah earlier, just because I fell down, I got back up, you know?
Absolutely.
And you were there during my transition of, you know, using and things of that nature. And I can say that you were also one of those people that didn't bash me during that period of time. And I can say thank you for that because people don't realize how hard it is to be in the Port Authority, knowing that that's the mainstream where all the girls hang out, and then seeing you the way you were, because that was like a meeting ground for everybody at the end of their 9-to-5, whatever they did, you know, and they would meet in Times Square and things of that nature. But
right.
I just think you brought back so many wonderful memories for me. I'm just like, oh, my God. And it's just good to know that we're still here and we're able to continue, you know, sharing memorable moments. And that would be like, I don't think anyone could ever say they want to open a House of Dupree. You could never open up another House of Dupree.
No, absolutely not.
You know? So
now I remember where I saw you last.
Where was
it? At Paris's Memorial.
That's
you were
what
there.
I just, yeah, that's where
yes,
it was.
That's where
yeah.
I saw you at.
Because I remember, I think you, before when we were talking, you said something about the luncheon thing. Yeah, you were at the Paris' Memorial.
I thought it was at the Marriott, but it was at the Memorial. Because when you said at the Dorian Corey, I haven't been to a Dorian Corey since they were in Philadelphia. And that was when they gave me my award, like, maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
You know, because I don't do Philly. I just don't do Philly. Mm-mm.
I hear you.
A lot of years on this phone line. A lot of years on the phone line tonight.
Well, see, RR doesn't remember this, but the first time I remember RR, when I had my first summer job, I was 15 years old, maybe 16, 15 or 16. Actually, it was my second summer job, working at, remember Duffield's Welfare Center?
Oh, my God. That's where I was working there, too.
You were working there, too.
Yes.
And I remember you were with the college kids because you guys were a few years older than us.
Yes.
And I was working with the high school kids because they had us, like, you know, segregated kind of, sort of.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
You guys were upstairs and we were downstairs.
You are so right. You took me back. Oh, my God.
That's how long we've known each other, since I was 15 years old.
Wow. Because when I tell the kids I started going to bowls when I was 14, they don't believe me.
Yeah,
but I didn't start
exactly.
walking until I was 17.
Okay.
You know, so you had to watch the bowls first so you could learn, because they wasn't going to just let you go out there. And in that period of time, I was trying to be a Dupree, but, you know, they didn't see it. So it all came about the way it did. But at the end of the day, wow, the history is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's alive
and well.
Amazing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
well,
Nicole,
I have to move on
with my interview. Don't take me out of the cube. I want to listen and interject sometime. I might have a question because, you know, my agent just pops in my head. I got to get it out.
Okay. All right, we're going to put you back on the queue. I guess if you're on the internet, I think the computer may have been shut off. So if you're on the phone line, continue to hold your spot. If there's someone that's listening, you know, you may want to bring them on the three-way. We have a couple of minutes left on here. I want to go through this segment with you because this is a very great part of your life. I noticed in the interview a lot when you talked about education and you talked about a lot of work history. Could you give me a little bit about your education? And you talked about you worked in Bloomingdale, so I know that, and where are you working today and some of the jobs that you have had?
Oh, wow. Oh, gosh. I mean, how many jobs have I had? I can't remember. It's been so many. I did spend a lot of years working in retail. I started out probably working as a messenger when I was probably about 17. I think that was probably like my first full-time job because I was still in high school getting ready to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lady that lived across the hall from my mom, and she worked at this color lab. Back then, you know, this is before, you know, the internet and all that kind of, and digital cameras and all that kind of stuff. And it was like a color lab where they were actually, like, say, advertising agencies would send the work to the color lab to, like, retouch their photos before they put them in the magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And I was that was my first job. And then probably around, I want to say, between 21 and 25 is when I started doing, you know, little part-time jobs here, you know, working at Macy's, working at Lord & Taylor. And then I decided to make it into a career. And I did retail for, like, 15 years.
Mm.
Up until, like, maybe, you know, 2005, and then, you know, quit school, started school, and then I said, you know what, let me stop this bullshit. Let me just go ahead and just get my degree and then see what happens. And I've been doing working in the mental health field ever since.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it was like one of those things where you get tired of doing, like, all this other stuff, and, you know, what really turned me off to retail was, like, dealing with, you know, snobbish people with all this money buying, you know, $10,000 watches that they didn't really even need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just didn't see this. It didn't make sense to me after a while. And then, you know, I was always the type of person, I was always a counselor at heart anyway, you know, counseling my friends, counseling, you know, all the people that I was, you know, coming up with and helping them with their problems and putting my problems on the back burner. And I'm like, you know what, maybe I should make a career out of this. And I went back to school. I went to City College uptown here and got my degree and been working as a substance abuse counselor / you know, mental health clinician for like the last 4 years, 4.5 years now.
I said you've been working all your life.
Yeah, pretty much. I've been working since I was 14, actually.
Okay, that is great. Have you ever been caught up in the whole drug era that was going along, you know, the partying and stuff like that?
Oh,
and
of course.
How did you maintain still working and doing all of that? You know, a lot of people weren't fortunate, you know, as you know, to
be
able to handle that.
Yeah, they didn't come out of it. They stayed in it. They got stuck.
Yeah.
You know what it was with me is like when I was, you know, living in the Harlem, you know, living on 117th Street back in those days, you know, the flap house that I referred to earlier, you know, that's when, you know, getting high and smoking crack and sniffing coke and hanging out and all, you know, all that kind of stuff. It was the norm back then. We're talking the early 80s. That's what everyone aspired to do back in those days. Mm-hmm. And when you're 19, 20, 21, 22 years old, you're just basically doing what everyone else does.
Mm-hmm.
But something always clicked with me, keep your job at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're still young. You can go to school, you know, whenever you finish with the bullshit. But keep your job. And I was always a working person, so I was able to kind of like, once I got sick of it, I was like, mm-hmm. you know what, cutting ties with these people, I'm not hanging out with this person, you know, I moved to another apartment, you know, a little further downtown in a much nicer neighborhood, and just basically, you know, left all that kind of behind me, and I haven't, you know, really messed around with any kind of harsh drug in a number of years.
Wow, wow, what a blessing. So you, there's hope and there's faith, and you can come out of it by just standing for yourself. So a lot of kids don't. That's the thing that's going on in today world. And I say that because I hear a lot of leaders and people who just shun the kids away, and everybody say, well, oh, they're doing this and they don't do this. But they only following the protocol of the lifestyle, because this is what they do at 20 years old and 19 years old. And it is fun. This, when I started, I was that age.
Right.
You think it's fun, and you go to the ball, and I did it the first time, and I won my first ball, you know, my ball, a category that I normally never won. So
it's fun.
And you, when you say that, you make me believe, and to every other individual that's on the phone line, that there's hope, and you can come out of all of those things to go in a better direction.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's not something that you're taught. It's something that is within you. If you have to put it in your own mind. I mean, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Someone can't sit you down and make you do anything you don't want to do, even at 20 years old. Because at 20 years old, you're not going to listen to anybody. You're just going to basically be involved in the culture. And that's what it was. It was a culture. It was a lifestyle back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when you get, you know, the thing is that once you get sick of the culture and then the culture begins to change, you're supposed to change with the culture and go into another direction.
Message.
That's what most people are supposed to do when they grow up. They shouldn't stay stuck doing the same thing. It's the old adage. A person who's 45 should not be doing the same thing as somebody who's 21 is doing, or someone who's 25. You know what I mean?
Because you have 20 years
on this person. You're supposed to be doing something a little bit more positive, a little bit more, you know, worthwhile, being a little bit more upwardly mobile. You know,
it's up to you as an individual. It's up to you as an individual. And that's just how when Jasmine speaks about her career and others speaks about their career and how it goes. And we all have to come from somewhere. It's not where you start. It's where you end up at.
Exactly.
So I truly believe that. And I think that's a message to everybody on the phone lines that is listening. You know, we follow the protocol of this lifestyle, but it has to be, you know, definitely within us that we decide to move in a different direction. That's beautiful. We have a caller. 908-374. You're back on the air.
Hi, it's me again. Nicole, you sparked the question, and my question is for you, Robbie, and all the legends and icons. How do you guys feel about shady legends and icons? Because kids like me try to pay homage to some people, and they give, like, and we're trying to, like, learn from other people, because that's how I was raised, to learn from my elders and stuff like that. How do you feel about shady legends and icons who just give, like, the, oh, thank you, baby, and, oh, thank you, stuff like that, instead of people who actually, like, want to, like, actually, how do I phrase this, to people who actually want to, like, help kids and stuff like that? Because when I go up to, like, a legend icon, when I went to a ball before, I was like, oh, okay, thank you for paving the way. I was like, I live for you, da-da-da-da.
And I start asking questions like that because I'm a naturally curious person. And, like, they pay it or they give, like, a very thank you, baby, and then turn away or whatever, like, stuff like that. How do you feel about shady legend icons who end up making it bad for other kids and stuff like that?
So what do you mean by, you know, making it bad? I'm not really understanding what you're saying.
Like, for example, if I was like, oh, thank you, Nicole, for paving the way, stuff like that. I watched you on YouTube and stuff like that, and I know you're a radio show and stuff like that, and you're doing something very positive. And Nicole gave, like, something very phony, like, oh, thank you, and just like, oh, thank you, baby, and that's it. How do you feel about shady?
I mean, if you want to talk about shade, I mean, that's a whole nother topic altogether. You know, I've been around. I call myself the member of the little red school, meaning that you had to learn to defend yourself.
Yeah,
you know, you had to learn to defend yourself about people who were just, you know, their mouths were just like slick and just cut and. Well, you know, you guys are saying, what, Judy now? I mean, I've learned from the best of them. And, you have to kind of, like, grow a thick skin, you know, especially if you're homosexual and you're a person of color. You have to develop a thick skin. And you have to always keep in mind, and this is just me personally, you know, sharing some wisdom with you. I mean, you can do whatever you want with this. You have to know, pick your battles. You have to pick your battles. You have to pick your fights. And most importantly, you have to pick your friends. Your family, you can't pick. You have no choice in that matter. But your family, I mean, your friends, your battles, and your fights, you have to pick them wisely. If that makes any kind of sense to you.
That is very true.
Thank you. You can answer that part there.
First, I want to say, Robbie, you're so right. We're from the old school, and the shade that we learned in the old school is our shade is so severe that I think I told you this earlier, Nicole. We read you, and you don't even know you've been read until you walk
away. Exactly.
It goes
right
over
your
head. Read. You know, that's how you read. Now, the other part to that is to answer your question. A lot of times, if you're speaking to a pioneer or an icon at a ball, and they say, thank you, baby, they're really saying thank you, and they're not trying to be shady, but they're in a forum where it's like red carpet, and they don't really have time to invest in a long conversation. But what you could do is, like, when you say, oh, I really appreciate what you've done for me and how you've paved the way, and they say, oh, thank you, baby, I really appreciate that, you say, I would definitely like to talk a little bit more about the history of balls from your generation. If you don't mind, can I look you up on Facebook? And they'll say,
yes.
Okay, sure, take my Facebook. Because
right
then and there, that moment, I can even attest to it, we're in a different mode. We're in ball mode. So for us to sit down and have a conversation with you, that's not the proper forum. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's like, and I'm going to use this as an example that's very graphic, but that's like you're taking a shit and someone's knocking on the stall because they want to ask you a question.
Yeah, absolutely. Or like, you know, you can be in a restaurant eating, because, I mean, this has happened to me, like, you know, years ago I was, like, having lunch with my mom and, like, some little child, you know, that I had never seen before, but, you know, apparently she knew who I was. And, you know, oh, Robbie, Santa Ron. And, you know, I'm with my mom, you know, and we're trying to have lunch. And, you know, I got the fork in my hand getting ready to put the food in my mouth. And she wants to talk and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And me, that's like R.R. said, that's not the perfect forum for that. You know, not saying that I'm a celebrity and, you know, I'm looking for, you know, special treatment or anything like that. But if I'm with my mom or if I'm with an older lady sitting at a table, chances are, you know, you can just, like, nod and say hi. You know, I'm not going to shoo you away. But, you know, to come over and, like, pull up a chair and want to talk with me in front of my mom, and, you know, you just don't do it like that.
That's totally inappropriate. I know that.
That's really inappropriate.
Yeah, timing and decorum is the most important thing to remember when you're approaching anyone. Okay.
Absolutely.
You really have to be careful because even when I'm out in public, if I'm going to a casting with models and I'm walking down the street and I see someone from the ballroom community and they say, you know, I'll give them that look like, hi, how are you? Don't go there. I'm working. So when I give them that look, they'll be like, R.R. is being shady. No, it's not the proper time. to, mm-hmm. you know, to approach me with that. Just be like, and I'll say hi, and just keep it moving. And it's no shade. And I appreciate the question because, it's, you know, a lot more of the youth today should be on the show asking the questions that you're asking, which means you're getting a lot of knowledge just even from a couple of, you know, pioneer icons and from Nicole, who's also learning as she goes, and she has an open mind. So, you know, a mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's open. So continue to keep your mind open.
I like that. Let me write that down. A mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's open.
I like that one. I think I'm going to use that one.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Carla. Thank you, RR. We're going to put you back in the queue. Robbie, you need to say your Facebook name to these people that are hitting me up. They are loving you, and they keep hitting
me up.
They
started me on Facebook now. I don't really have to tell them anything.
Well, no, they want, like, somebody must have missed it, so they need you to repeat your Facebook name. How can they return your Facebook?
Okay. First name is Robert, just like it sounds. I'll spell the last name for you. It's MarcoMeen, as in Nancy, I as in Isaac, Robert Marcomady, and that's my real name on my birth certificate.
Okay. So I hope you call it up here. Listen, if you're on the phone lines and you'd like to come on the phone line and say hi and have a little a question or friendly question to ask Robbie, feel free at any time to press 1. We're going to be winding it down soon. It's 2:35. So I want to give you guys an opportunity, and I would like Robbie also to be able to speak to you young youth and the younger kids out there today. So definitely feel free. Okay, we talked about your education and all the jobs that you're working for, and it's definitely an inspiration, and everything that you said tonight has been. But I'm going to go a little deeper now because you are from the era and has been around. You said you left ballroom, I guess. Which was that, the 96 you said, or was it 90?
The last ball I walked was in 1990, yes.
Okay, as far as you being walking, so you didn't walk balls anymore, like, or come to them after that?
I came to judge a couple of them after a while because that was really, at that point, I kind of like lost interest. I'll tell you what happened real briefly. The house was pretty much kind of broken up back in like, say, 89, 90. And I remember Temperance, and she, you know, she had like really hurt me. She had became, I think, an overness or something. And I summoned, you know, all the girls. I summoned her, Octavia. It was a whole bunch of, we had like a powwow in my living room because I had just moved into the apartment that I'm in now.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a powwow, and I made dinner, and, you know, we sat around. And I was like, look, I'm not going to be doing this very much longer. I said, but we need, if I'm going to go out, we're going to go out with a bang. So we're going to do this as a house one more time, and whatever happens after that just happens. And that's when we got together and walked Pepper's Bowl at Tracks in 1990, and I think we won like maybe 12 trophies that night.
Amen. That's just a lovely ending. It did never prompt you to maybe stay, like to say that you guys all still have it, or you know that it was something still there.
Not really, because at that point I kind of like lost interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I had, like, other things that I was trying to accomplish. You know, I was thinking about, you know, trying to get back into school at that time. And, you know, I had, like, left, you know, my life on 117th Street where it all started. I left that life behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was feeling like I needed to go in another direction. And, like, and I just knew that, you know, if I hung around the ballroom scene, because, you know, basically what balls are, they're a distraction.
Right.
You know, some people use it as a tool, but some people get easily distracted. And, you know, I have an addictive personality. If I like something a lot, I'm going to run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself getting a little, you know, sidetracked, you know, so I kind of like, you know, I think I'm going to, like, hang up my ball boots at this point and just, you know, go in another direction. And that's what I did.
Okay, so like I was saying, that you're from an era, and I've been around when a lot of people, maybe, and I'm sure you have a lot of friends that we have all lost to the HIV and AIDS virus. And what is your exact feeling about that, and how do you feel about the way it came and just rocked our whole gay community, not just ballroom, but the community itself? And what would be a message that you would send to the young generation?
Well, I mean, you know, the thing is, you know, you guys, you know, the younger generation, you know, there's a lot of information that's out there now that wasn't out there when I was coming up. You know, I was just talking to a friend of mine just the other day, thinking about, you know, writing like a little book about, you know, the people that we lost, you know, and basically just think of it as if they were not gone, you know, kind of like write like a little story about if they were all still here. Because, you know, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. You know, people, I mean, I used to have a record of it. I don't even have that record anymore.
So it's safe to say you've lost a lot of people to
I would have to say hundreds at this point.
Wow.
Not just in the gay community, but, you know, in the straight community, too.
Right. Wow. Wow. And if it was, I mean, I'm sure you can, you know, can say the same thing. It's so different, and there's so many different tools and medications that they have today that they didn't have back then when you guys was out running and doing balls and doing that
stuff.
Well,
it was, you know, it was a death sentence back in those days when you heard about somebody, you know, having HIV. You know, it's not a death sentence anymore. You know, we have more information about it now, so. You know.
And no one should have to really drift to that. I appreciate that. So what would you say to the younger community? What is one of a sincere message you can give to the younger community about them entering, you know, the guys that sort of, the young people that sort of want to enter in and their passion is to be involved, or, you know, they don't have a home or a stability or some leadership that guides them in the right way. What would you say to them as a word of encouragement?
I would have to say, you know, keep your head up. You know, don't let, you know, your circumstance define you. You know, because, I mean, I've seen people, you know, me being one of them. I know what it's like to be behind the eight ball. And, you know, I've never been homeless or anything like that. But I know what it's like to be destitute and, you know, and not have what I want to have and, you know, wake up hungry and, you know, and, you know, running around like a chicken with no head on, you know, trying to figure out what you're going to do to eat. And, you know, I know what that feels like. You know, because I'm from that drug culture, you know.
Right.
You know, I did all of that. My advice to people or young kids today would be you gotta stick to your guns. You gotta stay true to yourself and try to be more of a leader as opposed to following behind your girlfriend or your boyfriend. You know, get what you need to get from them and then move on to somebody or something to define yourself, you know, and that's why I say education is so important, you know, to the young kids. You know, you can go to the balls on the weekends, but Monday through Friday, your ass needs to be in school.
Mm.
I mean,
well,
seriously, knowledge is power. I mean,
yes,
that's just the way it is.
We have a caller on the phone line. If you're on the phone line, we're about to wrap it up. It's now 2:40. I want to give you guys a chance to come on the line, and I want Robbie to also have the, you know, the pleasure of hearing you guys come and ask some questions. So don't be afraid. You can all see that it's very friendly, and he's very, you know, energized. So definitely feel free to press 1 and come on the line. My first call is 857-258. Welcome to the Sister to Sister For Real show with the pioneer icon, Robbie St. Laurent. 857-258. Are you there? No, I guess that caller is gone. So, and we have any callers, just send them on through. So, is it possible to get you to come on out now, you know, and to judge the ball? Can anybody would like to, you know, if they have people out there listening and callers and stuff, could they get you out there to judge the ball now?
I mean, I was asked recently, you know, I told him, I said, look, here's my number. When you put it together, let me know. If I'm not busy, because, you know, my days, you know, I'm off on Sundays and Mondays, you know, so Saturday nights after midnight are usually, you know, a good time for me. But if there's something happening on a Sunday, hey, I'm there.
Are you one of the people that still have that energy that you have inspired and has blueprinted in the ballroom to have younger gay kids today?
I mean, I have a few people that I, you know, I keep in contact with. I wouldn't say they're like really young, you know, because like my era, you know, is 40 plus.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, I know some people, of course, I know people in their 20s, but I don't really, you know, I'm not really in cahoots with them like I would say I am with somebody that's closer to my own age. So, but it's not that I'm saying that I'm opposed to it, because, you know, if someone wanted to, like, you know, say, hey, let's go and have lunch, I want to talk to you, I want to interview you, whatever, I'm all for it. But it's not like I'm, you know, hanging out in the clubs looking for friends who are a certain age. You know what I mean?
Right, absolutely. So, I guess what you, I guess you pretty much answered the question of, I wouldn't be able to ask you, what could, do we have to look forward to as far as new talent and something, but you are open-minded to it, am I correct?
I'm sorry, repeat that one more time.
I said, will we ever be able to look forward to seeing anything else come out of the legacy of the House of St. Laurent, or, and are you open-minded to the new talent that is out today?
I'm very open-minded. I would love to sit down with anybody who, you know, who's interested in, you know, I can't say, you know, like opening the house. I don't think that I would be open to that idea, but I would definitely be open to the idea of, you know, coming out and hanging out, you know, hanging out with some of the young kids and, you know.
Would using the name not be an option?
Are you using the name you said?
Yes.
I don't think that would be a good idea.
Okay. We don't care what people say. We know the truth.
And Jasmine Couture, CEO.
What happened? I thought there was another commercial.
No, that's Jasmine. She has now entered the platform. CEO Couture, welcome to the Sister For Real Show.
Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Jasmine. Hey, honey. How you doing?
How are you? Nicole, girl, it's not going to happen.
Why? I don't know what you're talking about.
You and Katrina need to sit down.
No, we just asked. So, you know, it's so not just that was a personal, our personal kiki. But I'm sure that the name is beautiful, and it's like everyone lives. And I'm sure with after this interview, you know, it was Walt's idea. So I just want to ask, you know, what he feels about it.
Nicole, I'm looking at your picture for the very first time.
I went to yours today as well.
Oh, wow. I like this picture.
Thank you.
Robbie, I want to say thank you so much for coming on the show, especially at short notice.
Anything for
thank
you, honey.
You
know
so
that.
Much.
Anything for you. It was just so nice for you to, you know, reach out and let me know what you were doing, because, you know, I do anything to support, you know, anybody who I can. You know, that's just my nature. You know me for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Nicole,
yes.
Great reviews. Everyone is loving this. So,
wow, it's
Robbie,
like all
thank you
posts
so
on
much.
Facebook. Oh my God.
Yes, you
like,
are just like going through Facebook
I
right now.
Like,
I was just
I
looking.
I feel like a celebrity. Oh my God.
Yeah. And thank you, everybody that's speaking and hitting Robbie up. That's exactly the purpose of the show. It is to bring life and to pay homage and respect. And like you said, just to say hello, because he's just not that type of person, to a person that means so much to this boardroom scene. And I thank you so much. And I'm so honored to have this time to speak with you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for inviting me, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed myself. I really did. I like the positive feedback that I got today. It was great.
Oh, thank you.
I just want to say Robbie was, you know, everything was just so great, because I think what a lot of people fail to realize is they're so caught up in current events and current, you know, what's happening currently, but they forget where everything started, where everything
mm-hmm.
came from, and they overlook everything. And that's where we lose a lot of respect. And, you know, there's people like you, Robbie, and people like RR, you know, so many people in this scene that I always looked up to. I mean, Robbie is probably one of the only people, and I, you know, have to admit this, but only people that knew the other side of me back in those days. You know, he's seen that beginning transformation.
Yeah,
and, you know,
so
I have
quiet back then. You hardly said a peep when I first met you. You just lay back in the cut and just observe everybody.
Mm-hmm.
time, I think Octavia had brought you to, I had like a little picnic in Central Park.
A little
picnic.
Robbie's having a picnic, and,
right.
and Octavia always did the same old shit, the same thing. Let's go to Robbie's picnic. Come on, let's go to Robbie's picnic. And we go over there, and she only makes a 5-minute walkthrough. Hey, how are you? Okay, let's go. We're about to go.
No, she got to stay longer than that.
Well, I'm just using that as an example. She was the okay. type of girl that would take you to the movies and probably watch 30 minutes of the movie and be ready to go.
Yeah, she was like that. She had a really short attention span, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people on Facebook, it's just, you just, everything is, I wish there was so many more clips and things that are out there, Robbie, that people can see, because just a lot of you know, different things of Octavia is now posting up on Facebook. Everything
yeah.
is just coming alive real fast.
Well, there's
it's
one
beautiful.
Clip that I'm in that I just recently found out about. The outtakes of Paris is Burning. They have some clips of me when I was probably pretty stoned off coke and alcohol that day, reading the House of Extravaganza because I chopped them at a bowl. I think I chopped Danny Extravaganza because I think she was wearing like sheets or something and some cheap boots. And I remember all. It was kind of vague, but I remember I was on. Miss Octavia was judging, and then she didn't want to judge no more. So Miss Paris let me judge in her spot, and I remember sitting next to Tenille Dupree, and having like, well, I'm not going to tell you what she had, but let's just say it was a lot of passing back and forth. And I remember the extravaganza person coming on the, getting at the runway, and I remember telling Tenille that her boots only cost $20. And then I remember chopping her, and I remember the House Extravaganza wanting to kill me. You can see that. You can see all of that on In Paris is Burning. Because I just recently found that out, like, myself, like, a year ago. I was like, a friend of mine was like, oh, you're in Paris is Burning? I'm like, no, I'm not. And I said, well, those cameras are in my face. I was like, get those fucking cameras up. Y'all ain't paying me shit. Get out of here. I ain't signed off on none of that. And then, you know, I end up in, you know, at the very end, you know, getting ready to get killed by the House of Extravaganza. So that's
I
only clip
clearly.
You're going to be in.
I do clearly remember that ball that I gave at the clubhouse when, you know, you guys came and, you know, you judged for me and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Remember that when I was telling Nicole? Remember when Kanzai John and the other person were masquerading as
Ronnie,
mother, father?
Ronnie.
Yeah.
I remember that. Was that a very nice? Did that go nicely?
Well, yeah, we...
Nicole,
John,
did you come to that ball?
I remember that day. I remember them bringing... supposedly bringing back up the house. So I'm trying to think, remember, was I there? Because I remember this time that you're talking about.
A lot of people don't realize, but I haven't, you know, just been giving balls now with collections balls and stuff. I was giving balls back then in 94 and 95, and I did give a ball that night at the clubhouse because I was one of the first people to give a ball because it was my idea with Frankie Paradise to give the balls there. And that was the night that I think Ashley and Tamara walked out, you know, for realness. And, you know, there was a lot of people in the building, and Robbie happened to be one of them. I think Michael was there.
Michael Princess, yeah, we came together, me, her, and Joseph.
Yeah, you guys came together. You guys were judging for me. You know, a lot of people were there. JoJo, just so many people back then. And I do remember, you know, John, he turned to, I think he didn't use Saint Laurent afterwards, and he made it Moschino for a while.
That's exactly, yes, he did. Yes, he
mm-hmm.
did.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, Robbie came and said, oh, no, this is not going to happen.
Yeah, we had to shut that down, you know, because like I was telling Nicole, I had, you know, basically retired after 1990. So, you know, certain people must have thought it was, like, choice to, like, take things over. And, you know, and I was like, oh, not so fast, my dear. We ain't going to do it like that. So that's how that happened.
Those are the days.
Well, I just wanted to just say thank you so much again, Robbie, for coming on. And again, at short notice, and, you know, I know that this is all new to you as far as the show goes and stuff, so I'm going to send you some information on Facebook as far as, you know, listening to the archive. If you want to listen to the show, you can always listen to it from your computer. And then I know your schedule is kind of late, but, you know, in the future you can listen to, you know, the shows Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday if you want and stuff. So thank you again. I'm going to give you back to Nicole because I know we only got 6 minutes left. But thank you again so much, and I love you.
You're quite welcome, darling. Anything for you.
And all right.
You thank you, Jasmine. And if you're on the phone lines, we have 6 minutes left. So you guys can definitely feel free to press one and come on the line and say hello, and we're going to get out of here. I want to personally thank you again. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this, and I know everybody out there that's listening appreciate it just as much, and all the callers and stuff. So if you are listening and you're on the phone line, I guess you can hit Robbie up, and, you know, you can see him accept your friend request, and you can move on from there. Robbie, I enjoyed the show.
Me too.
So much. I look forward to seeing you again. So I hope, you know, somebody gets the lovely idea to bring you to a board to judge again. That would really be an honor.
So, Nicole, where are you located, by the way?
I live in the Bronx. I live in New York City in the Bronx.
Oh, so you're close. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
I'm right in the Bronx. I'm not far. You still live in Harlem?
Well, I'm on the Upper West Side. I'm on West 102,
just
below 110th Street.
Oh, okay, over by Central Park.
Well, yeah, I'm in Douglas. You know where Douglas is, don't you?
Yes.
I'm in Douglas. I'm on the outskirts of Douglas, right on Manhattan Avenue.
Okay.
Been here 22 years.
I'm definitely going to hit you up with my information and my number, and I'll hit you up and I'll inbox you because I see we're friends on Facebook because I see you put the post up there. I appreciate that. And I want to thank all you callers for listening in. And next week, we know the first segment will be the legendary Mariah Revlon. We, you know, we'll finish off her interview. And I'm sure I can pull out another fabulous surprise like this. So I thank you so much again, Robbie, for coming on this phone line.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
I guess I can speak for all of us when I say we speak your name. And thank you for doing all the terrific things you have done in Ballroom.
Oh.
So would you like to make a closing statement to the listeners and the people that are hearing you tonight?
I just want to say thanks to all the listeners for calling in and, you know, giving me the love and sending your best wishes and all that jazz. And thanks to Nicole and Jasmine for thinking of me, for, you know, coming on the radio show and talking. I enjoyed it. Had a great time. Thank you.
Thank you again. And I want to say to everybody on the phone line, this is the Sister For Real show. For all you callers that's listening, I do have a page. Go to Sister the Sister For Real on Facebook, and you just make sure you like it. And you just follow the information. I promise nothing but about positive women and women that have brought things to our community and has made us in the place that we are today. And we will get details about the show. And you can also give me a lot of feedback on the Sister to Sister For Real Network. So it's the Sister to Sister For Real Network, and it is on Facebook. And definitely be able to feel free to just like it and to come and tell me your views and what you think about the show. And if you have any suggestions, you definitely can put it on my wall. No mess, just realness. That's what it's called. I'll see you guys back here on Tuesday night with Hot Topic Tuesdays with my legendary sister, Titi Allure, and the pioneer icon, RR, as the voice of reason. I look forward to starting off that new platform. So maybe, Robbie, you can pull it up and listen to that, just like the spinoff of The View, because I'm Barbara Walters tonight. And then we're going to have The View on Tuesday, you know, with Hot Topics and things like that. And then Monday is the recap show. So if you do have time, and if the Jasmine send you the information, definitely feel free. But I'm going to go now, and we're all going to say goodnight, and thank you so much again. Thank you, callers, for listening, and thank everybody out there that was listening on the phone line and everybody that took part in this interview. I greatly appreciate it. I love you. God bless, and be safe, and follow every message you guys receive tonight. Very, very important. Very important.
Absolutely.
Thank you again, Robbie. Have a nice night.
You're quite welcome. Talk to you soon.
Okay, and we out of here.
don't